Fix by Chrysothemis, read by Chocolate Bunnyhead and General Ginger.
It was a room like any other in the, yes, still unexplored part of the city, which was getting smaller every day, but nevertheless much larger than Rodney liked. It was an ordinary door and what looked like a set of innocuous-looking consoles. So Shepard, being Shepard, raised his B-90 and went in first to check it out. Rodney was right behind him, and would have been there 2 steps after him except for the force field that shimmered into place, blocking the doorway. "Hey," Rodney said, annoyed. "What the—" "Shepard, you want to tell me what's going on in there?" Shepard didn't answer. Rodney could see him inside the room, like he hadn't even noticed the force field. "Shepard," Rodney switched on his radio. "Colonel Shepard, can you read me? Come in." Inside the room, Shepard leaned to look at one of the consoles without even glancing Rodney's way. He didn't seem to touch anything, but a panel in the wall opened in front of him. It looked a little like a stasis chamber they had found the alternate Elizabeth in, but bigger, and Shepard walked into it, his head cocked, examining it. "Colonel Shepard, come in," Rodney tried again. But either Shepard was ignoring him, or he wasn't getting a radio signal at all. Rodney whipped out his data pad and hooked it up to the door's control crystals. He needed to get that force field down. He didn't know what Shepard thought he was doing, but he sure as hell shouldn't be exploring it on his own. "Huh." Rodney rechecked, but the door control panel stubbornly maintained that the door was open and no force field was present. Shepard was standing in front of the chamber, looking at it. Rodney reached out carefully and, ow, yes, definitely a force field there. Rodney went back to his data pad, tapped into the city system, and broadened his search. Weird. Weirder. Okay, that was just wrong. The sensor said nothing was going on down there. No force field, no stasis pod, no power drain. But inside the room... Shepard, damn it, what are you... Oh, no, 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 come on, don't... Shepard stepped forward into the chamber. Rodney gestured frantically, but Shepard disappeared from his line of sight and the chamber door closed behind him.
Rodney was dawdling again. John did what he always did when they were exploring uncharted parts of the city. Checked the room for visible dangers, and then called out as all clear. But Rodney still didn't show. So John did what any rational person would do. He took a second look around. There were the usual consoles everywhere, so some sort of lab. Some sort of lab that had a door in the wall that slid open when he got close to it. That was kind of cool. John stepped forward and stuck his head into the little room. There was a chair inside, not one of Atlantis's usual incredibly uncomfortable desk or conference room chairs, but a big cushioned cradle-shaped chair, half-tipped back. John glanced back at the door, but Rodney was nowhere to be seen, so, hey, if Rodney was going to take a sweet time out there, John at least deserved to put his feet up. He stepped inside and lowered himself into the chair. It was even more comfy than it looked. John crossed his ankles and tipped his head back, and the door to the little room closed in front of him. So, okay, that was odd. But he was too comfortable to be really worried, and the room went nice and dark. A nap room, built by the ancients. Who would have thought it? The funny thing was, he didn't feel particularly tired. Just nice. Relaxed. Maybe a little horny, but hey, that wasn't anything new, considering the fact that it had been a couple of days since he'd jerked off. It was too bad Rodney was out there and likely to interrupt at any moment, because what John really felt like doing was taking care of things right now. There was a warm buzz at the base of his cock, and he was... Okay, he was getting hard now, and that was inconvenient, but Rodney still wasn't showing, and maybe... Oh, God. He hadn't touched himself. He hadn't even moved his hands, but he'd felt something, a tantalizing, ghostly stroke, right where it counted. John reached down, but there was nothing there. His dick was still in his pants, fully hard now, but there was nothing touching him, nothing anywhere. But, God, there it was again, stronger than before, and he wasn't imagining this. Not a nap room, then. More like a sex room, some kind of virtual semi-reality, which just went to show that the ancients were kinky bastards as well as irresponsible jerks. John pushed himself up in the chair, meaning to stand, but another wave of it hit him, hot and hard, and he fell back into the chair, panting. Jesus, he couldn't. He shouldn't. Rodney was out there, would be here any minute, and it was a freaking ancient device, which was seriously not to be trusted. But damn it, another wave hit him, and it felt... weird and amazing and shit. He had to go. He had to get out of here right now. Stop, he thought at the device. Stop now. The warm buzz faded, and it was just him, alone in the chair, no ghostly fingers touching him, no virtual anything. John pushed himself up onto his feet, still breathing hard. The lights slowly came back on, and he could see the door control. He was good. He was fine. He was, damn it, horny as hell. And he really didn't want to go looking for Rodney like this, with a bulge in his pants that was showing no signs of going away. Okay, it had stopped when he asked it to. It was under his control. There was no reason he couldn't sit back down and enjoy himself. From the feel of it, it wasn't going to take all that long, and if Rodney hadn't opened the door yet, he wasn't going to. Well, probably wasn't. God, he shouldn't do it. It was the worst idea ever. But he was already stripping off his shirt and shoes and holster and pants so he wouldn't make a mess of them. Because even Rodney would probably notice that. John took his sidearm out of the holster and laid it on the left side of the chair, then settled back into it and put the P90 on his right. He placed his hands on the armrests, which were shaped to cradle his palms, kind of like a control chair. Okay, he thought at the device. Do your thing. For a moment he felt nothing. Damn, maybe he'd screwed up and lost his chance. And then it touched him again, sweet and electric and good. John closed his eyes and just let it wash over him, stroke after stroke, slow and intense, and he was floating, floating in a sea of sensation. At first it was just his cock. It felt like a vibration, hot and fast, right on the underside of the head. Then his balls joined the party, buzzing in counterpoint. And then slowly the sensation spread, until there was another electric point right there at the base of his cock, only deeper inside, and God, that felt fucking amazing. He was aching now, so turned down he could barely stand it, but the sensation went on, always escalating but never quite there, until he was rocking in the chair, thrusting into nothingness, dying a little inside, because he wanted to come now, but it wasn't quite there, wasn't ever quite there, and he was going to break, he couldn't take this, he couldn't, oh God, please, he said out loud, and it hit him like a tidal wave, pleasure so intense it almost hurt, washing from that point inside him outward, until even his toes and the tips of his hair felt good, and oh shit, he'd come so hard, he'd managed to cream himself in the face. John tipped his head back and just sank down into the cushioned chair. He felt wiped, like he was never going to be able to move again. And then something very much non-virtual brushed him. His heart jumped in his chest, but no, it was okay. It was some sort of cleaning device, because a moment later his face and chest and belly felt dry again, and the ocean smell of semen was gone. A faint light went on, a diffuse glow from above, and John sat up and fumbled for his clothes. He couldn't believe he'd just... But seriously, that was the best jerk-off session ever, and there was no way he was ever telling anyone about it, especially not Rodney. Oops. Rodney. Rodney was out there somewhere, probably wondering what the hell he was doing in here. John buttoned his shirt as fast as he could, then buckled his belt and holster on. Right. Well, it was Rodney's own fault for being so slow. He checked his watch, then had to check again, because, crap, he'd been in here over an hour, and there was slow, but even Rodney couldn't be that slow.
20 minutes later, Rodney had Zelenka and an engineer named Kunin feverishly working on the problem with him. 40 minutes later, he had Elizabeth, Tayla, and Ronan pacing in front of the door, getting in the way. An hour later, John! Rodney nearly dropped the incredibly sensitive equipment he was using to try and figure out what the hell was going on. Elizabeth was standing in front of the force field, her hands splayed. Past her, the pod door had opened, and Shepard stepped out, looking tousled and a bit rumpled, meaning basically just the same as he had looked when he went in. He shook his head, glanced around, and apparently saw them at once, because he came right over to the door where the force field shimmered. "Wait, don't—" Rodney started to say, but somehow the shimmer undulated and bulged as Shepard stepped into it, and then he was standing there in the corridor, unscathed. "John, what happened in there?" Elizabeth asked. "Are you hurt?" Shepard kind of blinked at them. "I'm good," he said, then looked around, taking in the crowd. "Hey, what's the party? And how come nobody invited me?" "You were in there for over an hour," Rodney said. with what was really remarkable restraint. You weren't responding to your radio, and Atlantis wasn't even admitting to the existence of the force field, so you'll excuse us if we were a little worried about you. Shepard looked around. What force field? That one, Rodney said, pointing, because the shimmer was still there, subtle and implacable. Huh, Shepard said, and held out his hand to it. Rodney was only slightly mollified when Shepard jerked his hand back, shaking it out like it tingled. Was that there before? That's one of the things I'm trying to figure out, Rodney said. I didn't see it until you were already on the other side. Actually, according to everything in the Atlantis system, it doesn't exist. But it's there, and it's real, and you were totally ignoring your radio in there. Can you tell us what happened? Elizabeth said. Shepard put the hand that wasn't holding his P90 in his pocket, way too casual for the amount of panic Rodney had just invested in him. Sure, Shepard said easily. Rodney and I were cataloging the rooms in this sector. You cleared that, remember? Elizabeth nodded, and Shepard went on. So we found this room, and I went in first to check it out, like I usually do. Rodney was being slow, so I thought I'd be a little more thorough. I took a closer look at that room that kind of looked like a storage closet. It was fine, so I came back out, and I found all of you acting like something just exploded. He turned to Rodney. Did something just explode? Rodney shook his head. Wait, that was it? Nothing else happened? You didn't feel anything when you went in there? Shepard shifted, and shoved his hand deeper into his pocket. Not really, no. But there was something weird about how he was acting. He looked a little flushed around the ears, which was really not normal for him. What? Rodney said. Come on, Colonel. Something happened in there, and I want to know what it was. Shepard lifted his chin. Okay, it felt a little weird, but it wasn't a big deal, okay? Could be a stasis pod, Raddick suggested. Yes, or some kind of time compression field, Rodney mused. We should get you to the infirmary, just to be sure you weren't affected by anything, Elizabeth said, placing a strategic hand on Shepard's elbow. Shepard managed to shrug her off, without making it look like he was pulling away. Hey, he said, that really isn't necessary. I feel fine. Oh, please, Rodney said. We have no idea what just happened in there. You could have been exposed to radiation. Or altered genetically, Raddick added. Or exposed to a nanovirus, Elizabeth chimed in helpfully. Or nothing at all, Taylor said, but we would all feel better if we knew for certain. You're going, Ronan added, if I have to carry you. Shepard lifted his hand. Okay, infirmary it is. I'll go with him, Ronan said, and Taylor and Elizabeth offered to go too. Good, good, Rodney said. Raddick and... Damn, he'd known half an hour ago. Dr. Coonan, Raddick supplied helpfully. Yes, yes, of course, Coonan. Raddick and Coonan and I will stay here and figure out what happened. Let us know if you find anything out on your end. We'll be in touch, Elizabeth promised. They turned to go, and Rodney was only half paying attention to them. But, okay, no, something was wrong with Shepard. Something was different. He really did look more rumpled than usual. And then Rodney saw it. He couldn't believe he'd missed it, with Shepard standing right in front of him for the past 5 minutes. But, of course, he hadn't exactly been looking for it. Shepard's uniform shirt was buttoned wrong. The buttons and the buttonholes mismatched, so his collar was crooked and his shirt tails didn't meet up. Like he'd rebuttoned it quickly, or without looking. Okay. No. Maybe Shepard hadn't buttoned it right when he got up in the morning, and Rodney just hadn't noticed. That was more likely. Because what the hell would Shepard have been doing shirtless in that pod? Rodney had absolutely no idea. He wasn't even sure he wanted to know, because that would be... Okay, come on, we can crack this thing, he said, more to pep himself up than Raddick or Coonan. I give us another hour tops. But 8 hours later, they were still no closer to an answer.
Rodney spent the entire rest of the day trying to figure out the force field. John knew, because he kept checking the life signs readouts. There were 3 signs in that corridor for most of the day. Well, at lunch and dinner, there were 2, but Shepard caught Zelenka picking up sandwiches at the mess at noon, and Kunin grabbing an armful of MREs from stores at 1900. And all 3 were still apparently hard at work 5 hours later, when John went to bed. He was normally so exhausted that he fell asleep when his head hit the pillow, but for whatever reason, sleep wasn't coming. John felt energized, and strangely horny, considering that he'd come so hard just this morning. John reached into his boxers and gave himself a half-hearted pull, but it wasn't what he wanted. What he really wanted was to sit back and relax and let someone, okay, something else do all the work. He could almost feel it when he closed his eyes, the buzz inside, not like being touched by another person at all, but still. God, it had been amazing. John pulled his hand out of his shorts and leaned back against his pillow. He wanted it. And maybe that was weird, but really, what was the harm? Of course, there was no way to tell if he'd be able to get the force field down again, but it had let him in once. He turned to check the life signs display on his computer screen. Maybe he would be able to get in again if he were alone. Go to sleep, Rodney, he thought at the now solitary dot on the screen. But it stayed stubbornly where it was. John sighed and rolled onto his back. Rodney had to sleep sometime. In an hour, or two, or three, he'd be out of there, and John could take a crack at it. But 3 hours later, Rodney was still there. John finally rolled himself out of bed and pulled on his clothes. Maybe Rodney had fallen asleep on the job or something. Well, if he had, it would serve him right to get woken up. John headed for the transporter and touched the location nearest the corridor on the northeast pier. He'd barely taken two steps down the hallway when a very solid body came around the corner and barreled right into him. John stuck out a hand to keep him from falling, but Rodney reeled back, muttering curses, and shrugged off the help. "Gotta watch where you're going there," John said. "It's 3 in the morning," Rodney complained, blinking at him. "What do you think you're doing here?" John just shrugged. He wasn't going to admit he'd been hoping to find Rodney asleep. "Saw there was still someone down here on the life signs detector, so I figured I'd check it out." Rodney squinted at him. He looked tired and rumpled and decidedly disgruntled. "Don't you ever sleep?" "Not tired," John said, which wasn't exactly true, but hey, close enough. "So did you get the force field down? Figure out what it did to me?" "No," Rodney said crankily. "No, I did not. I'm starting to think it's a secret prison, or maybe a torture chamber. There is simply no way to lower that force field, because believe me, I have tried every means humanly conceivable. You're lucky you got out." John managed not to laugh at that, which wasn't easy, because wow, Rodney really had an imagination there, didn't he? "Yeah, so what do you want to do? Seal off the section and forget about it?" "No, I do not want to just seal it off, Colonel. We don't know what that thing did to you. I am not stopping until we actually know something." Jeez, there was dedication, and then there was Rodney McKay. "Wow, Rodney," John said, just to tease him. "I didn't know you cared." "Oh, please. You're the military commander of the city. Of course I want to know if you've been injured or compromised." "Of course," John said sarcastically. "Seriously, I'm fine. It was nothing, okay? Just go get some sleep before you start scaring people you pass in the hall. We have a mission to plan tomorrow. 0900 hours, remember?" "Oh," Rodney said. "Right." He scrubbed his eyes with one hand. "Don't worry, I'll be there." "Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, I hope," John quipped. He escorted Rodney to the transporter and carefully pressed the location for the hallway near Rodney's quarters. When Rodney was safely on his way down his own hallway, John pressed the location for the northeast pier again and headed back to the sex chamber. The force field was still there. He could see it, a faint shimmer in the dim corridor. But when he reached out a tentative hand, he couldn't feel anything, and it let him slip right through like it wasn't there at all. So maybe it only worked when he was alone. Or something else. But he was in, and the chamber opened when he approached it, the same little room with the same big comfy chair, and he wanted to be in it, right now. John stripped off his clothes as fast as he could, then sank down into the padded chair. There was a long moment when nothing happened, and he thought maybe it wasn't going to work. But then the tendrils of sensation started, on his cock and balls, and whoa, that was a nipple. He let out a long breath and gave in to it, while the sensation built until he felt the tiny point of pleasure inside again, bright and hot and amazing. John groaned and hitched his hips up, knowing there was nothing to thrust into, but he wanted... Oh, God! It felt like he was being stroked on the inside, like that little point of fire was expanding in ripples and waves, washing through him until he was tingling everywhere. "Now," he whispered, "please, now!" And the wave crested, and he was coming and coming, and there was nothing but pleasure and more pleasure, inside and out. Afterward, he just lay there, only half aware, while the device cleaned him up. The lights came on, soft and dim, and he knew he should get up and go back to his room, but he was too tired to move. After a while, the lights dimmed again, and John drifted in the afterglow, feeling it like warmth at the base of his cock, a soft buzz inside, a sweet stroke. Oh, God! It was starting again, and somehow, inconceivably, he was getting hard already. John just lay there, ready to laugh at it when it failed, but it didn't fail, and within minutes he was aching again, needy again, lost in sensation, desperate to come. He let it go for a while, wondering how long it would take to make him come if he didn't beg for it, but the sensation went on and on, intense as hell, but just shy of what he needed to push him over the edge. He was burning up everywhere, inside and out. He couldn't feel individual points of pleasure anymore. It was everywhere and nowhere. Elusive, constant, maddening, perfect, and he couldn't take it anymore. "I have to," he croaked. "Please let me." And it was over, and he was gushing again, wrung out, strung out, done for, and sated. He managed to get to his feet when the lights came on, managed, after several tries, to get his clothes on. He tottered out the door and back to his room, and fell asleep before his body even hit the surface of his bed.
It was Shepherd who showed up late for the meeting the next morning. Rodney was on his fourth cup of coffee, and feeling reasonably awake, but Shepherd looked like he had a hangover. The only thing about him that was perky was his hair. It was bad enough that Elizabeth noticed. "John, are you all right?" Shepherd twitched like he'd been half asleep, and he'd only just sat down. "What? Oh, yeah, fine, just didn't get much sleep." Elizabeth frowned. "Are you feeling ill? Maybe we should go to the infirmary again, just to get checked out." "No, really, I'm fine. Rodney, tell us why we want to go to M9J478. But before Rodney could answer, Elizabeth cut in with, "I want you to get checked again, just before you go off-world. No arguments, John. We need to make sure you're really okay." Shepherd waved a hand. "Okay, sure. I'll get checked out. Rodney?" So Rodney went into a spiel, and Shepherd eventually woke up, and most things went back to normal. Only somehow they didn't. Shepherd got yet another clean bill of health from Carson, but he still looked tired the next day. The mission to M9J847 was relatively uneventful. The planet had recently been culled, and they ended up providing assistance rather than getting much in the way of trade. So they all came home, tired and in need of distraction. But when Rodney turned to Shepherd after dinner and asked if he wanted to play a game of chess or something, Shepherd just shrugged. "Actually, I've got something else to do. Sorry, maybe some other time?" "Right, yeah, okay." Rodney stood there holding his tray, watching Shepherd leave the mess hall. Not that they spent every moment together or anything, but he'd really gotten used to the chess games lately, and with Shepherd looking a little off his peak form, Rodney had figured it would be a good chance to snag the lead in their ongoing rivalry. "You may join us in meditation if you like," Taylor said at his elbow. "Sure," Ronan said. "I won't even let Taylor hit you if you fall asleep." Rodney grimaced at them. "Hey, thanks, but I've got some, you know, important things to do. Really important. To do right now. So I'll just, see you two later." And he escaped with his tray to the service area. He thought for a moment about asking Radek to play, but Radek was a shark at chess, and Rodney was pretty sure he cheated. He could always ask Carson to watch a movie with him, but Carson liked tearjerkers and weird foreign films, and he really wasn't up for dealing with either tonight. Anyway, none of them were as easy to be with as Shepherd. Shepherd was just, well, Shepherd, and he never expected Rodney to be anyone other than Rodney, and that was pretty much unique in Rodney's experience. In fact, if anything, Shepherd wanted him to be more Rodney-like, uber-Rodney, and okay, he had no idea where that thought was going. R&R was overrated anyway. Rodney dumped his tray and headed over to the lab, just for an hour or so he could run a few general scans on the Atlantis system. Power consumption was doing nicely, thanks to his recent reconfiguration of the city's power grid. The long-range sensors were clear, internal sensors... Hey, wait, okay, that was weird. The internal sweep showed a single life sign way down in the lower level of the northeast pier, which was, right, the same corridor where Shepherd had... The life sign suddenly vanished. For a moment, Rodney thought he'd imagined it, or that it had been a glitch, but no, he wasn't that tired. On impulse, he tapped his radio. "Colonel Shepherd?" In some alternate universe, Shepherd replied and got annoyed with him or teased him for worrying. In this universe, the radio remained stubbornly silent. Rodney gritted his teeth and ran a scan for Shepard's subcutaneous transmitter, which, damn it, had also disappeared. Crap. Rodney's hands froze over the keyboard. Protocol probably said he should alert Elizabeth. Sanity said he should get at least one other brain working on the problem. Elizabeth's involvement hadn't helped last time, and neither had the combined brains of the best Atlantis had to offer. Rodney jerked to his feet, grabbed a life science detector and his data pad, and headed for the nearest transporter. The corridor was dim, as was the room, but that just made it easier to see the faint glow of the force field. Rodney hooked his data pad up and reran every diagnostic he could think of, just to pass the time. He'd give Shepard an hour, hour and a half tops, and then he was alerting everyone in the whole damn city, or at least the senior staff. It took 46 minutes. The only warning Rodney got was a flicker from the light on the force field, and then Shepard was right there in front of him, glowering at him. "Rodney, what the hell do you think you're doing here?" Shepard snapped at him, like Rodney was one out of place here, and damn it, the force field was still there. Rodney scrambled to his feet. "Don't you think that's my line? What the hell, Shepard? Getting zapped once wasn't enough for you? Oh no, wait, I get it. You're still jealous because I got turned into a super genius and Elizabeth wouldn't let you try it. And that's perfectly understandable. But if anything, whatever's in there seems to be turning you into an idiot, and if you want to prove me wrong, you'll take that force field down right now." "Can't," Shepard said, like he really was an idiot. Rodney was not a violent man, but right now he was actually starting to regret that. "What do you mean, can't? You just did!" "There's some built-in kind of delay," Shepard said. "It's at least 6 hours, maybe more. Prove it." Shepard crossed his arms over his chest. "I can't. I mean, I can show you it doesn't let me in automatically." And he reached out his hand until the energy of the force field crackled against his fingers and he pulled them away. "But see, that doesn't prove anything, because we both know there's a mental component." "Yes, yes," Rodney said impatiently. "So think it off." "I'm trying," Shepard said. "See? No dice." So either he was telling the truth about everything, or he was lying through his teeth about thinking it off, and there was no way for Rodney to know for sure. "Okay, okay," Rodney said. After all, there was more than one way to work the problem. "Meet me here in 8 hours. No excuses then." Shepard lifted his chin. "Rodney, what is my concern bothering you, or do you think no one needs to know what that damn thing did to you?" "Look, it's not anything to worry about, okay? You're making a big deal out of this." "How do you know that? It could be anything. Drugs, mind control. I mean, obviously it's brainwashed you into thinking it's harmless already." Shepard made an impatient noise. "It's not like that," he said. "It's more like... okay, you remember that virtual reality thing on Aurora? It's kind of like that." "Virtual reality?" "Wow, okay, this was totally not what he was thinking. Really? Is it cool?" "Seriously cool," Shepard said. Okay, so 8 hours. Well, make it 10. We'll meet here the first thing in the morning, and if you can get that force field down, we can check it out together. Might even be more fun with two, hmm?" "Rodney." "What?" "It's not that kind of virtual reality." Shepard shifted on his feet. "It's not really something that can be shared, okay?" "What do you mean? How personal could it possibly—" "Oh my God." Realization dawned, hot in Rodney's face, and he had a sudden shocking memory of Shepard's misbuttoned shirt. Damn it, he'd been right from the start. "You found an ancient sex toy, didn't you? Some kind of virtual sex simulator. Admit it, you did!" Shepard shrugged, not looking at him. "Something like that." "Jesus, was it good? Okay, right, it had to have been good, or else you wouldn't be coming back. And, wow, okay, that's a seriously weird thought. It was bad enough watching Shepard charm the pants off women all the time, but thinking of him naked and panting in some sort of orgasmatron? Wait, it's not totally virtual, is it? Because you took off your clothes." Shepard's head snapped back to look at him, like he hadn't thought anyone would notice he'd misbuttoned his shirt. "Actually, I just didn't want to be stuck with the laundry problem." Whoa. That was really too much information, because now Rodney was wondering exactly how much mess Shepard was talking about here. So it was really good then, because, you know, not that I'm not exceedingly well acquainted with my own right hand, but I always thought it would be, I don't know, pretty sterile to be having sex without another person there. Honestly, Shepard turned away again so that Rodney couldn't see his face at all. "Yes, it was good. It was amazing, okay?" "Really?" "Yeah," Shepard said, "really." "Wow." Right, so that pretty much explained what Shepard was doing down here, except, well, it wasn't proof that it was safe. After everything they'd been through, Rodney didn't exactly trust the ancients. "Look, are you sure this is such a good idea? Because, okay, I'm not saying you're going to catch an ancient STD from it or anything, but isn't it, I don't know, just a little weird?" "You could check it out yourself," Shepard said. "Come back in the morning. It's not like you don't have the gene. You can walk right up and it lets you through." Rodney didn't even know why that felt weird. It wasn't like dating a friend's ex, not really, but Shepard would know, and he would know what it felt like for Shepard, which was just wrong. Still, somehow the idea was strangely tantalizing. "I don't know, I mean, Not that I'm sure it isn't really, but I just... Suit yourself, Shepard said. You heading back? Oh, yeah, sure, Rodney said, and turned to walk with him toward the transporter. So what's it like? He couldn't stop himself from asking. Do you get to pick your virtual partner? Choose a blonde or a redhead? What? But Shepard shook his head. It's not like that at all. His shirt was buttoned properly. Rodney noticed the brighter light of the corridor near the transporter. But his hair looked kind of damp. Sweat, Rodney realized, which was just... Okay, no, not going there. When it starts out, you can't see or feel anything, Shepard said. Like sensory deprivation. So when you do feel something, it's... A lot stronger, Rodney supplied. Huh. Yeah, Shepard said, and ducked into the transporter. Rodney followed him and quickly touched the location nearest Shepard's quarters. Not that he was at all worried, but still, he would be happier knowing Shepard was safely back in his own room and not... Yeah. Rodney still had questions. Lots of questions. Questions he hadn't even formulated yet, but the transporter doors were opening already, and Shepard was heading out before he could even begin to ask any of them. Good night, Shepard said over his shoulder, and all Rodney could do was nod back.
It wasn't a problem. It wasn't anything to worry about. It wasn't like you couldn't stop, any time you wanted to. Only the thing was, he couldn't. There was an itch in the back of his brain, maddening and incessant, and he couldn't make it stop. In 5 more days, he'd been to the sex chamber 7 times. It hadn't taken much experimentation to figure out that the lockout lasted exactly 7.5 hours, which meant that technically he could go up to 3 times a day. The only problem was that he had to stay up late enough to be sure Rodney was in bed, so he wasn't getting a hell of a lot of sleep. It wasn't a big deal. He just didn't need Rodney to know what he was doing. Not that he was ashamed of it, really. Hey, he had a healthy libido, and who wouldn't do it if they could? Only he was really starting to wonder if he should be doing it at all. It wasn't just that he was exhausted, so tired that even caffeine wasn't helping. It wasn't just that he kept thinking about it, to the point where he found himself getting hard in a meeting, of all things, which was very not cool. Mostly it was that even when he told himself he wasn't going to, sooner or later, he still found himself going down there, and that bugged the shit out of him. He wasn't panicking. He could handle this. He didn't need to freak out. He just needed to stop. So he did what he always did when he needed to quit thinking. He ran, out on the South Pier, as far from the sex chamber as was physically possible. He was pounding down the access ways, breathing a little hard, when his radio sputtered in his ear. Colonel Shepard? John slowed and took a couple of nice long breaths before switching on the radio. Not that he was winded or anything, but he had been pushing himself a bit. Yeah, Rodney, what can I do for you? Look, I really need to talk to you. Rodney sounded concerned again, and John had a sudden sinking sensation that he knew what it was about. The sooner the better. Oh, John said, I'm a little busy right now, but I can stop by your lab in about 15 minutes. That's soon enough for you? It'll do. Only, make it my quarters, okay? Yeah, okay. If Rodney wanted privacy to talk about it, he definitely knew what this was about. Crap. Right, John said. 15 minutes. Shepard out. And he headed for the nearest transporter so he could get a shower before he had to face Rodney. He actually made it to Rodney's quarters before Rodney did. He leaned against the wall outside Rodney's door and ran a hand through his still damp hair. He wished he knew exactly what Rodney wanted to say to him. He was pretty sure Rodney hadn't actually gone and used the sex chamber himself. At least, he'd never showed up on the life signs detector, and John had been checking it fairly frequently. When Rodney finally showed, his mouth was set in a tight line that didn't bode well. You better come in. John nodded and followed him inside. Rodney locked the door, which didn't make him feel one bit better. John went over, casual as he could pretend to be, and sat down on Rodney's bed. Rodney turned to face him. You have to stop. And yeah, okay, no question what he meant there, except he went and explained it anyway. The virtual sex thing. You have to stop doing it. John took a long breath and scrubbed a hand through his hair. Yeah, I know. Rodney blinked at him. Wait, what? You know? How do you... What do you know? And why didn't you tell me? It's pretty damn obvious, John said, because it was. Every night I tell myself I'm not going down there, and every night I do, sometimes twice. God! Rodney walked over to his desk and set down the laptop he was carrying, then turned to face John again, his expression pained. Look, it doesn't work, and even if it did, you don't want to ascend anyway, right? Okay, wow. That wasn't what he'd been expecting Rodney to say at all. Ascend? That thing's supposed to make me ascend? Rodney grimaced. I know, it's nuts. But when the genetic manipulation project started to fail, the ancients got a little desperate. He started to pace, punctuating his words with random gestures of his hands. They began arguing among themselves, and some of them tried some pretty crazy things. One of them, her name was Serja, decided that the way to become one with the universe was through prolonged, intense sexual stimulation. Her science was all wrong, of course. Well, okay, it's true that parasympathetic stimulation lowers brainwave frequency, but even assuming you got down to near ascension levels, no one in that state wants to ascend. You just want to come already. No shit, John said with feeling. Rodney stopped his pacing for a moment, but his hands kept moving. And then, of course, orgasm triggers alpha waves and you're back where you started, with or without sufficient synaptic connections. So I'm not going to ascend by mistake, John said. Not that he was really worried about that. No, you're just going to go insane. Rodney turned and started pacing again. 67% of the ancients who tried it developed an uncontrollable, incurable addiction, to the point where they were put in stasis to prevent them from tearing the city apart to go back in there. That's the point of the force field, by the way. It's to keep the nutcases out. I still haven't figured out why it's letting you in. Christ, that was really not what he wanted to hear right now. What about the other 33%? Three of them, that's 25%, committed suicide. The last one was Serja herself, and as far as I can tell, she was the only one who could handle it. She left it behind when they gated back to Earth. Really not what he wanted to hear. Those are crappy odds, Rodney. I know! Rodney stopped and faced him, and he looked frustrated and helpless and annoyed as hell. I just... Look, the one chance you got is if you quit now. The ancients who tried it all did it for months. It's only been a week for you. John did the reckoning in his head. 8 days, he corrected. It felt like a lot longer. Right, whatever. Just don't make it 9, okay? John rubbed his eyes. He was so tired. He just wanted to... Fuck. Right. That was exactly what he wasn't supposed to be thinking about. I wish I knew I could do that. Rodney stared at him, stricken. It's not a choice, Colonel. If you can't break the habit, we're going to end up sending you back to Earth, either in a straitjacket or in a coffin. Crap. He really didn't need to hear any more of this. I got that, Rodney, John said. But thanks for spelling it out. And he pushed himself up off the bed and turned toward the door. Don't go, Rodney said, too quickly. We can, play a few games of chess or watch a movie. Hey, I can see if Raddick has anything you haven't seen. He owes me a favor anyway. Damn it. John clenched his teeth. He didn't need someone to watch him. He was perfectly capable of going back to his own room and... Shit. Okay, he had to be realistic here. And realistically, if he walked out the door, he was going to end up on the Northeast Pier. And Rodney knew it. Chess is fine, he managed. Rodney got out his board and set it on the bed, not even suggesting they go to the mess, like he thought John was going to have a raving fit or something. John thought about suggesting it himself, but Rodney was already settled at the head of the bed, so he just shrugged and sprawled across the foot, leaning on his elbow as he set up the pieces. It was his turn to be white, but as he made his moves, his head felt slow and muddled. Usually he could anticipate Rodney, or at least cut through his convoluted plotting with a few well-considered, decisive moves. But tonight the strategies kept getting mixed up in his head, and he found himself walking into trap after trap that he was pretty sure he ordinarily would have seen right through. He wasn't really surprised when Rodney checkmated him 3 times in a row. "Ha!" Rodney crowed. "You totally didn't see that coming. I can't believe you didn't see that coming. That'll teach you to play with a genius, hmm?" John rubbed his left temple, which had been aching for the last half hour. "I should go." Rodney sat up with a jerk, knocking over half the chess pieces in the process. "Wait, wait, not yet. You should, I mean, we could..." John made a face at him and climbed to his feet. It was late, he was exhausted, and somewhere along the way he'd actually managed to lose the worst of the itch. "To my quarters, Rodney. To sleep." Rodney still looked jittery. "You could, stay here if you want. Sleep on my couch." John rolled his eyes. "I don't need you to babysit me. If I'm going to quit this thing, I have to do it on my own." Rodney got up and came over, all too obviously putting himself between John and the door. "I know you think you're capable of just about anything, and you know, that confidence is actually justified surprisingly frequently, but what if you can't beat this? We should at least tell Carson." Oh, God, that was the last thing he needed right now. "What's he going to do? Prescribe methadone? Look, just let me try, okay?" Rodney met his gaze with a searching look, and something softened in his face. "Okay, okay, but if you can't do it, you have to promise me you'll come talk to me rather than just going down there. Deal?" "Deal," John said. He reached up and squeezed Rodney's shoulder, just to let him know how much he appreciated the vote of confidence. "Thanks, Rodney." "Hey, sure. Just good luck, okay?" "Yeah," John said. "Looks like I'm going to need it," and headed out the door. He made it to his quarters just fine, and if sleep was a little hard coming, at least it wasn't as impossible as he'd expected.
"Rodney, just the person I was looking for," Elizabeth fell into step with him. "Do you have a few minutes?" "Oh, actually, I was looking for you too. I just wanted to talk to you about the puddle jumpers." "Why don't we step into my office?" Elizabeth said, which was kind of odd, because surely they could talk about the puddle jumpers just about anywhere. "I've been rereading through some of the notes I made when I was, you know, a super genius," Rodney explained as they headed up the stairs. "And while far too many of them are too advanced to be comprehensible, I did upload a virtual prototype for a hyperspace generator for the puddle jumpers that I'm pretty sure I can implement. It will take some external resources, but I'm thinking if Zelenka and I work on it together, it would only take us a week or two. 3 weeks, tops." They had made it to Elizabeth's office, and she turned to him as soon as the door was closed. "Actually, there's something else I need to talk to you about. I'm worried about John." Oh, right. This conversation. The one he'd been trying to avoid for 3 days. Rodney crossed his arms over his chest and attempted to look casual. "I understand he hasn't been sleeping very well," Elizabeth went on, "and Carson says that his stress hormones are elevated. I'm concerned that this has something to do with the room you two were exploring." Rodney tried to suppress a wince. Elizabeth was way too perceptive for his sanity, and he was really not ready to tell her everything. Damn it, that was Shepard's job. "Actually, I mean, he doesn't look that bad, does he? Nothing a little extra sleep wouldn't cure, right?" Elizabeth still had her worried face on. "Have you managed to figure out how to get that force field down?" Oh, thank God, a question he could answer honestly. "There's no way to get it down, and believe me, I've tried. It's running on some sort of internal power source, so there's no code. Well, there's no access point to even try a code to take it down. It's like the brig, only we're locked out, not in." "I see," Elizabeth frowned. "So there's no way to figure out what it did to him?" "Ask him," Rodney wanted to say, and then tried to imagine Shepard telling her that he was having dangerously addictive virtual sex. "So, okay, maybe not. The best I can figure, it was some sort of neural interface, like the stasis pods on the Aurora," Rodney said, which was still the truth, if not the whole truth. "A virtual reality?" Elizabeth asked. "Not exactly, but something similar, which doesn't explain why it's sealed off, or how Shepard managed to get in there in the first place." "He does have a rather unique version of the ATA gene," Elizabeth said. "Perhaps that had something to do with it?" "That's possible," Rodney said, because that was fairly close to what he was thinking. "Anyway, I think it may have affected him subconsciously. Okay, that wasn't really a lie. Maybe he's having bad dreams or something?" Elizabeth picked up one of those ugly little statues she's keeping on her desk and toyed with it. "I'll make sure he sees Dr. Heitmeyer," she said. "But I want you to keep working on that force field, and see if you can find anything in the ancient database. There must be some way to figure this out." "Right, okay," Rodney said. "I'm on it. Now, about the puddle jumpers." "Yes, the puddle jumpers," Elizabeth said. "Go ahead and try it. Just make sure you don't disable more than one at a time, and don't forget about John." "Right," Rodney said. "Make astonishing advances in hyperdrive technology. Fix Shepard." He backed toward the door, making his escape. "Good thing I'm a genius, huh?"
He found Rodney alone in his lab, hunched over his computer screen while numbers scrolled by too fast for him to actually be reading them. "What the hell, Rodney?" Rodney jerked his chair around. "Hey, I am working on an extremely complicated problem here. You can't just barge in like that. The fate of this expedition could be resting on my undivided attention." "What did you tell Elizabeth?" John demanded. Rodney's eyes went wide. "Elizabeth? What makes you think I talked to Elizabeth?" God, he really was a rotten liar. "Oh, come on," John said with a roll of his eyes. He leaned against Rodney's desk and crossed his arms over his chest. "You had to have said something. She's on my case now, and she's making me see Heitmeyer." John pressed a few keys on his computer and looked up. "You do realize Dr. Heitmeyer is a professional and might actually be able to help you, right?" John grimaced. "What did you tell Elizabeth?" "Nothing. She figured out it was the ascension device all on her own." Jesus. John's gut suddenly felt worse than it had after the blue potatoes. "You told her about the device?" "No. I mean, okay, I might have said something about it being a kind of virtual reality, but I didn't tell her what kind. Whatever conclusion she jumped to on her own. Look, Colonel, I don't know how to put this, but you have a problem, and if Heitmeyer can help you with it, then you need to let her help you." Christ. He couldn't even feel relieved that Rodney hadn't spilled all the beans, because Rodney was being seriously impossible here. "If she can help me," John said. "That's a big if." "I still can't figure out why it's letting you in," Rodney grumbled. "According to the database, the only one it was supposed to let in on demand was Serja herself." "Really? Okay. Whoa. That made a sickening sort of sense." "Christ," John said. "It thinks I'm her." "What?" Rodney stared at him. "How do you know that?" "I don't. I mean, not really. I just..." Something about the way it touched him, about that point of pleasure inside him. It wasn't his kink. It was someone else's. Crap. It was like he'd been using someone else's favorite programmable vibrator. "Wait, you said she evacuated to Earth, right? So maybe she ended up having a kid or two." Rodney frowned and rolled his chair back a bit. "You can't possibly... I mean, given the vagaries of mutation and genetic drift, even if you were her direct descendant, the probability that you'd have a significant number of her genes is infinitesimal." "I had to get my ATA gene from somewhere," John said. "Okay, whatever. The exact nature of your parentage is irrelevant," Rodney said. "What matters is that you're the only one who can get in there. Look, that thing has to have an independent power source, some kind of long-lasting, low-power generator. If you can remove it, it'll take the force field down, and then I can get in and dismantle the thing." John's hands and forehead went suddenly, weirdly clammy. Because, shit, that would work. That would really work. All he had to do was... "I can't," he said, and it came out more of a croak. "Oh, for God's sake, you'd rather have an incurable, deadly addiction?" "No," John said. It came out low and harsh, not like his voice at all. "I can't. If I go in there, I won't be able to resist it. Trust me, Rodney, I'm sure of this." "Crap," Rodney said with feeling. "You can't just grit your teeth or something?" "No," John said. "Right, okay. We'll think of something else. Just don't do anything idiotic, okay?" "I'm trying," John said. He only wished he could be sure he was succeeding.
It was late enough that Rodney was seriously thinking bed when the door chimed. Rodney frowned because he couldn't think of anyone who would bother him this late, and it was... Oh, Shepard. He looked like hell, face drawn, jaw clenched, eyes dark and hooded. Rodney, his voice was low and hoarse, you have to help me. Yes, right, come in. Like I said, I'll do anything you need me to. You want to play chess? No, Shepard said, low and harsh. You didn't actually. Rodney couldn't say it, didn't dare. Shepard shook his head. I managed to stop here. Thank God. Okay, so we have to distract you, occupy your mind with something else until the craving goes away. So, a movie maybe? Or, okay, I'll even watch football with you if you have anything. I'm afraid I don't have anything like that on my hard drive, but... Rodney, Shepard grated out, I don't need a damn football game. I need to have sex. Preferably with a human being. Oh, Rodney said faintly. Of course. So, right, you came to me because obviously I'm the right person to find you a partner. Rodney gulped. He hadn't thought this part through, mostly because he didn't want to think it through, didn't want to think of Shepard getting a pity fuck from... Okay, from who? I'm sure there are plenty of women who are very attracted to you. We just need to find one. One who is awake at 2 a.m. I can go look around right now. I guess the Marines are off limits, but there are plenty of... No, Shepard said, a little more desperate. I can't ask a woman. Yes, yes, I know, that's why I'm going to do the asking for you. Shepard met his eyes. His hands were fists at his side. I can't have you ask for me either. What are you going to say? Hey, come fuck John so that he doesn't go batshit crazy? That's not even a bad pickup line. That's coercion. And I haven't sunk that low yet, okay? Rodney swallowed. Okay, yes, I can see that. So you won't let me ask anyone. But you need to have sex, preferably with another person. I take it you've tried jerking off? Shepard nodded wearily. It doesn't seem to help at all. Please, Rodney. Please what? Please... Oh, God. Rodney hadn't even thought of that, never considered it. I didn't realize you were gay, he blurted out. Shepard looked away. I'm not. I've never even... But that damn thing... And I can't ask anyone else, okay? Rodney swallowed hard. It wasn't that he didn't want to. Well, okay, it was that he didn't want to. Didn't want to see Shepard naked. Didn't want to see Shepard needy. Didn't want to deal with any of this right now. Right now, what he wanted to do was go to bed and sleep. By himself, thank you very much. Let me get this straight, Rodney tried. You think the best solution would be to do it with someone you're not attracted to. Someone who, just coincidentally, is not attracted to you. On what planet does that equal a cure for sex addiction? It doesn't. Shepard's shoulders were hunched. But it's the only option I've got. Rodney flinched. This was totally unfair. Not that it was any more fair to Shepard, but damn it, there had to be a better solution. They could tell Carson, so Carson could... Oh, right. Carson would probably strap Shepard down to a hospital bed and make him sweat it out for days, like he had with Rodney and the Wraith enzyme, and Rodney wouldn't wish that on anyone. Shepard was watching him, face, if anything, darker. You know what, he said, before Rodney could find the words to explain. Forget about it. I thought it would be different asking you, but it's not, so I'll just... And he reached for the door control. Colonel, wait. Rodney grabbed his arm as the door slid open. I didn't say no. Shepard looked pointedly at the hand on his arm. You should have. Rodney moved his hand, but only to reach past Shepard and tap the door closed again. You think I'm going to let you go crazy? They were standing too close to each other, so close Rodney could see the pulse in Shepard's neck, could smell the sweat-sour scent of him. You don't want to have sex with me, Shepard said softly. You don't want to have sex with me either. I say that makes us even, and anyway, if there's a chance it could work, we have to at least try. It's just sex. Shepard laughed at that, a short, strange sound that was halfway between a rasp and a bark. Right, just sex, and sex is what got me into this in the first place. That's not sex, Rodney said. That's closer to torture. He took a breath, steeling himself, because the decision was made. The decision was long past made, and it was time to get on with it already. Well, if we're going to do this, we need to get our clothes off. I understand even gay sex works better that way. Shepard didn't even smile at that. Just rubbed the back of his neck and looked over. Christ, this is going to be a disaster, isn't it? Quite probably, Rodney admitted, and reached for the button of his fly. Now strip, unless you want me to take your clothes off for you? What? No, Shepard said, too quickly. No, I've got that covered. And he bent to unlace his boots. Rodney didn't look up as he yanked off his own shoes and pants, and yes, boxers too. In for a penny, in for a pound. He sat on the bed to take his socks off, pulled his shirt over his head, and looked up. Shepard was peeling off a sock, standing awkwardly on the other foot. He was naked from the waist down, and, okay, at least he wasn't aroused either. That shouldn't have made Rodney feel better, but it did. Bed? Rodney suggested when Shepard had the second sock off, and Shepard came over slowly, looking hunted. He still had his black t-shirt on, but Rodney wasn't about to insist he take it off, even if it was making him feel a little self-conscious about his own bare chest. Shepard sat next to him, hunched forward, his hands dangling between his knees. "Right," Rodney said. "Where do we start?" "I have no idea." "Okay, okay, he could do this. This wasn't about sex, it was about Shepard, who needed his help." Rodney put a hand on Shepard's back, which wasn't all that weird with the shirt still on. He rubbed his thumb against the base of Shepard's neck, and Shepard's head dropped forward. "Okay, that could be a good sign, or a bad one." Rodney rubbed a little more, just in case it was the former, and then, whoa, Shepard twisted toward him, cupped his shoulder with one hand, and pushed him back into the bed. Rodney's head hit the pillow with a thump, and wow, this was really not like being with a woman. Shepard hovered over him for a moment, then buried his face in Rodney's shoulder, not kissing or licking or doing anything, just breathing against Rodney's chest hair. He stayed that way until Rodney wondered if he was supposed to do something, touch his back or stroke his hair, or... Then Shepard lifted his head and slid down until he was, oh God, right there, taking Rodney's limp dick into his mouth. And maybe it was pretty weird to have a head full of short, unruly hair in his lap, but his dick didn't seem to notice. His dick was saying, hello, mouth, and growing with every heartbeat. Shepard was just kind of messing around down there, licking a little, slurping a bit, because, right, he had absolutely no idea what he was doing. But it felt good enough, and even if there was no discernible rhythm... It wasn't like Rodney was a connoisseur of blowjobs, anyway. He was generally so happy to be getting one, he wasn't going to be a critic. Except, okay, ow, those were teeth, and he couldn't stop himself from flinching. Crap, Shepard said, and Rodney reached down to pet his hair, trying to reassure him. It's okay, Rodney managed. Just try not to scrape with the teeth. Teeth, right, okay. Shepard leaned his head forward against Rodney's hip, catching his breath for a long moment before he lifted his head again and sucked Rodney in. Rodney gasped. He hadn't been expecting that. Hadn't braced himself for the bolt of pure pleasure, because, God, Shepard had serious lung power, and suction was amazing. But then the sensation was gone, and Shepard was back to the slurping thing, which really wasn't doing much for him. Rodney hitched his hips up hopefully, but Shepard didn't catch on. Just kept doing whatever the sloppy thing he was doing, and Rodney tried closing his eyes and imagining a spunky blonde down there. But that wasn't working either. After what felt like ages, Shepard pulled off again and rested his chin on his fist. That bad, huh? No, it's good. It's, really pretty good. I just... Rodney, I've known 2-year-olds who could lie better than you. Yes. Yes, okay, it's not working. Could you just... That thing you were doing before, with the sucking? That was actually quite nice. Shepard arched a weary eyebrow at him. You mean this? He asked. And this time Rodney was braced, and it didn't make a difference. The heat and the strength of it made him moan and lift his hips shamelessly. Yes, Rodney whispered. Yes, that. And Shepard did it again. And a time after that, and he was clawing the sheets for something, anything, to hold on to. That's good, that's... Oh, God. He whimpered and came in Shepard's mouth. Fuck, Shepard said and spat all over the sheets. Sorry, sorry, Rodney managed, because, right, he should have given a little warning there, only he barely had warning himself, and now it was his turn, and Shepard had really been pretty generous, given that he was the one who needed this. Rodney took 3... long, slow breaths, and then propped himself up on his elbows. "Hey, come here," he said, and when Shepard didn't move, he reached down to haul him up to the head of the bed. Shepard was heavier than he looked, but he got with the program and finally scooted up. If he'd been a woman, Rodney would have kissed him, or thanked him, or something equally awkward. But he was just Shepard, which meant they didn't have to do any of that stuff. Shepard closed his eyes, which Rodney figured meant get on with it, so he reached down and took Shepard's dick in his hand. It was funny how different it felt when it was someone else's. Shepard's skin was shockingly soft against his fingers, and it went smooth and hot and expanded to fill Rodney's hand. Rodney squeezed gently, brushed a thumb across the head, and felt Shepard's whole body go unnaturally still. Okay, what he really needed was some hand cream. It wasn't like he was going to try using his mouth later. He had a feeling he'd be as bad as Shepard at that, if not worse. But years of practice on himself had to count for something in the handjob department. Cream, right, nightstand, there. Rodney got it out, got some on his hand and turned back to look at Shepard, who was still, amazingly, mostly hard, and the head of his cock almost brushing the hem of his t-shirt. You okay? Rodney asked softly, and Shepard nodded once without opening his eyes, so Rodney reached down and touched him again. The hand cream helped, and, yes, that was better. If he sat up, less pressure on his wrist, so Rodney settled in, his thigh warm against Shepard's, and set up a rhythm, squeeze and pull, pull and rub, listening to the sound of Shepard's breathing. It was a little ragged at first, but then Shepard relaxed against Rodney's leg, and his breathing evened out, low and steady, with only the occasional hitch. So maybe this wasn't a thrill ride, but Rodney liked it nice and slow, so he had a certain amount of stamina, and Shepard wasn't complaining. Shepard's face looked better than it had in days, with just a hint of a flush along the cheekbones and none of that grayness he'd had earlier. He still looked exhausted, of course, but that was to be expected. Maybe, just maybe he'd sleep a little better tonight. By this time, Shepard finally started rocking his hips to meet Rodney's hand. Rodney was getting a little tired. There was an ache in his right shoulder, probably from the position he was in, but he didn't know what else to try, so he just kept going. Shepard rocked a little harder, so Rodney picked up the pace a little, and then Shepard let out a plaintive little sound and let his knees fall open, his thigh pressing against Rodney's. Okay, maybe he wanted something different, wanted... Rodney kept the rhythm going with his right hand and reached out to cup Shepard's balls with his left, because he liked that sometimes himself. But when his hand brushed the skin there, Shepard bucked hard and Rodney's fingers slipped a lot lower than he'd intended. "Oh, God, I'm sorry, I didn't," he said, snatching his hand back. But Shepard wasn't listening. Shepard was too busy coming all over his black T-shirt and Rodney's bed. "Oh," Rodney said, and sat there stupidly, watching the color rise in Shepard's face. Shepard just lay there with his eyes closed and his pulse pounding in his neck until Rodney really had to say something. "It's okay, you know." Shepard shook his head and then heaved himself up off the bed. "It's really not." "It is if we say it is, and I'm saying," Rodney said. But all Shepard said was, "You have clean sheets somewhere?" And when Rodney pointed to the drawer, proceeded to pull them out and change the bed with military precision. It would have been a little less ridiculous if he hadn't been half-naked, with cum stains all over his shirt. Rodney fished in another drawer, found a spare black T-shirt, and held it out just as Shepard tucked the last hospital corner. "You could stay if you want," he offered. "The couch isn't too bad." Not that he'd ever slept on it himself, but he'd sat on it a fair amount, and it was fine for that. Shepard glanced at him, and then looked away sharply. "I'm fine." "No, you're not fine, which is, hello, why you're here in the first place." Shepard still didn't look at him. "At least take the shirt, okay? You can't walk through the halls like that." "It's 3 in the morning. Who's going to see?" God, he was impossible. "Take it," Rodney growled, "or do I have to strip that one off you myself?" Shepard glared at him but took the shirt. He reached behind his head and pulled off the stained one in one easy move, and then he was standing there in Rodney's quarters, wearing nothing but his dog tags and his wristband. It really shouldn't have been that much different than half-naked, but somehow it was. There was just more skin, and more body hair, a trail pointing downward, converging on the place where Rodney had just had his hands. Rodney bit his lip and turned away, searching for his own clothes, which were heaped on the floor. He pulled on his boxers and pants, and by the time he was dressed, Shepard was too, and he could think straight again. Rodney's shirt hung a little loose on Shepard, but not so much that anyone would really notice. Rodney had a sudden awful thought. "You wouldn't go down there now, would you? I mean, I know this was pretty bad. Okay, gruesome wouldn't really be an understatement, but you can't. You just can't. Give me a day or two. I'll figure this out, and just don't..." "Christ," Shepard said, and pinched the bridge of his nose like his head hurt. "I'm fine, McKay. You took the edge off, and I'm thinking I might be able to sleep if I leave now. If I stand here and argue about it, there's no telling." "Right, sorry," Rodney said. "Go. I'll come up with a better solution in the morning." Shepard looked, if anything, more pained at that, but he turned back to Rodney as he passed his hands over the door crystals. "Rodney," he said, quick and low. "Yes?" "Just... thanks." And then he was gone.
Rodney was busy on some project involving hyperspace, and as curious as John was about it, he really wasn't up to hanging around the labs today. He saw Rodney on his way out of the mess at breakfast, and that was bad enough. He nodded a quick greeting, but Rodney, who had been deep in conversation with Zelenka, jerked his chin up and gave him a searching look, and it was all John could do not to ask him what his problem was. Of course, there was no point in asking something you already knew the answer to, but it thrummed like a bass line in the back of his head all day. He'd had sex with Rodney McKay. Spectacularly bad sex. Well, okay, they'd both managed to come, so it hadn't been that bad, but Rodney had called it gruesome, and that grated, all day long. Hey, he'd tried. He'd really fucking tried. It wasn't his fault that he'd never had gay sex before. It wasn't his fault that Rodney wasn't attracted to him. Well, all right, yes, that was his fault, considering he'd chosen Rodney for exactly that reason. But if Rodney had really thought it was gruesome, He could at least have kept that little gem of an opinion to himself. Jen went through the usual routine for an uneventful mission-free day. A meeting with Lorne, a meeting with Hartwell, filling out requisition forms for the next Daedalus run, supervising puddle jumper flight training, answering his email, disciplining a couple of Marines who thought they'd try drying and smoking some of Parrish's off-world samples, more meetings. By the time he stumbled back to his own room after dinner, he was tired and cranky and sick to death of thinking about Rodney McKay. Except, wow, he thought about McKay all day rather than the sex chamber, and that was a change anyway. It wasn't exactly an improvement, but hey, at least being ticked at Rodney wasn't likely to kill him. Well, not on most days, anyway. There was a woman standing next to his door when he got there. A xenobiologist whose name was Lozano, he thought. "Hi," she said, and smiled as he approached, which kind of implied she wasn't there by accident. Damn. "Something I can do for you, Dr. Lozano?" Crap. He really hoped those idiot kids hadn't tried to smoke her off-world samples, too. Lozano smiled again, a very nice smile, all shiny with lipstick, and twisted on a pair of high-heeled shoes that were seriously impractical for the Pegasus Galaxy. "It's Lisa. And actually, I was thinking maybe there was something we could do for each other." John swallowed hard. Here it was, the solution to all of his problems. A willing, friendly, lovely solution. And all he had to do was risk entanglement and sleep with her under false pretenses. "Wow, that's, wow." Lozano grinned. "So what do you say? Are you going to ask me in?" Jesus, she moved fast, like she had reason to believe. Oh, shit. "Wait," John said. "Did Rodney put you up to this?" "Rodney? You mean Dr. McKay?" Lozano blinked at him. "I don't think he's ever said more than two words to me. And no offense, because I know he's on your team and all, but most of us in biology try to stay out of his way. We're usually happier that way." "Right," John said. "So it wasn't Rodney. Unless, well, of course Rodney was a genius. There was no reason to expect he'd do the legwork himself. But someone put you up to this, right? Someone told you I was, what, feeling lonely?" Lozano's mouth twisted into a pout. "Okay, yes, there was a rumor you were having a bad week and needed a little female companionship." She tipped her head. "They weren't wrong about that, were they? You look, kind of tired." "God damn it. It was Rodney for sure." "Someone is playing a practical joke on me," he said, which was close enough to the truth. "This is their idea of a good laugh." Lozano frowned. "You mean they're going to spy on us or interrupt us or something?" "Something like that," John said, which was more of a lie. But hey, in the end, it amounted to nearly the same thing. "Sorry." "I understand." Lozano looked crestfallen, which was really pretty flattering. "So maybe we can take a rain check then? Some other night?" John swallowed. And really, she seemed perfectly nice, but he just couldn't imagine a universe where that would be a possibility right now. "Wow, you know what? I'll have to get back to you on that. I'm not sure how long this is going to take to blow over." "I see." Lozano folded her arms across her chest, which certainly set off her assets there rather nicely. "Well, I guess I'm glad you figured it out. I'll see you around, John." "You bet," he said, and waited until she was halfway down the corridor before escaping into his room. John leaned against the wall as the door closed. He was going to kill Rodney. This was insult to injury. So maybe Rodney even meant well, but John had explained why he couldn't sleep with a woman, and tantalizing him like this was just cruel. Rodney really should have known better. The door chimed, and John jerked away from the wall. It couldn't possibly be, but it was. Another woman, Tricia Langenberg from Linguistics, who looked downright predatory. "Why, hello there," she said, pushing halfway into his room. "How are you doing?" "Whoa," John said, his hands up just in case he had to fend her off. "You know that rumor you heard? Completely false. Someone's trying to play a joke on me. Don't be silly, she said, moving closer and sliding a hand under the hem of his shirt. It can't be completely false, and even if it is, there's nothing wrong with a little fun between consenting adults. Practical joke! John yelped before she managed to get her other hand on him. Really? Seriously, Rodney was deader than a dead man.
Rodney! The lab had been empty for an hour, but Rodney glanced around nervously anyway when Shepard stalked in, his eyebrows thunderous. Okay, I have not one, not two, but 5 women come knocking on my door this evening, Shepard growled. Something tells me they didn't just decide to show up on their own. Wow, 5? Sheesh, apparently there really were women around who liked Shepard. Rodney abandoned his hyperspace model and swung his chair around to give him his full attention. So how many did you, have to turn away? Shepard grimaced and folded his arms over his chest. All of them. Damn it, Rodney, I thought I told you I didn't want a pimp. Rodney lifted his chin. That was completely uncalled for. He'd only been trying to help out. What makes you think it was me? I didn't ask anyone to sleep with you. Shepard rolled his eyes. Oh, right. Okay, okay, I may have mentioned something to Zelenka, but I didn't tell him anything about the, Rodney waved a hand, thing, so it's not like anyone is forcing them. He just didn't get it at all. After all, Shepard had been willing to have sex with him. What's so hard about saying yes, you don't have to sleep with all of them, just pick one. Or two. Or, you know, 3 at the most. Shepard made a face and dropped into the nearest chair. I'm still using them, lying by omission. What, even if all they want is to spend a pleasant hour or so with you? Yes! Shepard leaned forward in his chair, shoulders hunched. He actually looked a bit better today. Tired, but not quite so drained. Look, say I pick one of them, and say she sleeps with me because she likes me. Best case scenario, I beat this thing, lose the craving, go back to being me. Then what do? I either say, hey, thanks a lot, see you around, or I'm in a relationship with her, and trust me, she's going to be happier if I dump her. Rodney blinked because, wow, that was really not what he was expecting the inside of Shepard's head to look like. What? Shepard leaned back again, elaborately casual. You know, the whole relationship thing. Not really something I'm good at. Okay, maybe that made a little more sense. Only it totally didn't. How would you even know? Have you ever had a serious relationship? I mean, something that lasted beyond the wham-bam thank you ma'am part? Shepard raised a crooked eyebrow. Does marriage count? Well, of course marriage... Wait, were you married? He couldn't have heard that right, because that was really something they ought to know already. You never told me you were married. It never came up. Look, I'm just saying. It never came up? What kind of excuse is that? I've known you for 2.5 years. Come on, you know the name of my childhood cat. But I didn't know you were married? Shepard sighed and looked down at his legs, which were stretched out in front of him and crossed at the ankles. It only lasted 18 months, and I believe her last words to me were, I don't ever want to see you again, John Shepard, not even in a body bag. So really, not fodder for casual conversation, okay? Whoa, what did you do to deserve that? Rodney. No, really, I want to know. I mean, I've had my share of brush-offs, but usually they say the nasty things fairly early on, like when I ask them out. Shepard uncrossed his ankles, recrossed them, looked the other way. It wasn't just one thing, okay? But... well, the final straw was kind of when I forgot to tell her I was going TDY until the night before I had to leave. You forgot? Shepard made a face. No, of course I didn't forget. I just couldn't face the teary goodbye sex. So this way I got the tears without the sex. Okay, wow, this is getting into too much information territory. Shepard snorted. We're not just there. We've set up camp and we're starting to build infrastructure. Look, just lay off, okay? I told you I can handle this on my own. Right, because handling it on your own leads you to showing up at my door at 2 in the morning. Shepard's face went blank. You don't have to worry about that, he said stiffly, climbing to his feet and kicking the chair underneath the closest desk. It's not going to happen again. Shepard, come on, Rodney started, but Shepard cut him off. I'll see you around, McKay. Right, Rodney said quietly to Shepard's retreating back. And excuse me for trying to actually help you.
Over the course of the next few days, John did his best to avoid Rodney, which was actually pretty easy, since Rodney was elbow deep in his hyperspace project. It was apparently something to do with the puddle jumpers, and ordinarily John would have been right there, getting all the details, because a hyperdrive on a puddle jumper would be amazingly cool, but under the circumstances, he figured he'd better pass. He managed to sneak Rodney's shirt back to him, leaving it on his dresser when he knew Rodney was in the mess. So the only time he actually had to be in Rodney's presence was on M1U-424, and they spent most of that being grilled about what hell was and whether it had a gate address, so it wasn't so bad. Even if Rodney did make more than a few pointed comments about watching their language during the long trek back to the gate. The cravings were back. Not that he hadn't expected that, but they were worse than before, because now every time he thought of the sex chamber, he thought about having sex with Rodney, like the two were all mixed up in his head. Elizabeth kept giving him searching looks all through the debriefing, and then ordered him back to the infirmary. John dutifully went, and Carson clucked over his neurotransmitter levels again, although this time he was apparently more concerned with the dopamine than the acetylcholine, whatever that meant. "Have you been under any undue stress recently?" John shrugged and hopped down from the infirmary bed. "It's been over a week and a half since the city was in mortal peril, so not really, no." Carson chuckled. "It has been a bit eventful around here lately, hasn't it? I'd say your body's just having a wee bit of a delayed reaction. You're seeing Kate regularly." "Sure," John lied. He'd faked his way through the appointment Elizabeth had set up, and hadn't scheduled another. "Well then, I'm afraid there's not much else I can do for you," Carson said, and let him go. John trudged back to his quarters. He thought he'd been out of options before, but he obviously hadn't known what that meant, because just having Rodney to talk to play chess with, whatever, had made all the difference in the world. But he'd fucked that up, and now there was no way he could ask Rodney for help, because there was humiliation, and then there was abject humiliation, and he was way past that and on to mortification. So John spent the evening alone in his room, trying to jerk off, and he knew it was bad, because even porn wasn't working. The woman on the screen had pretty tits, and a nice ass, and she was really going to town on the guy's dick, which was usually a bulletproof turn-on. But tonight it just wasn't doing it for him. His dick kept going soft in his hand. So maybe... Maybe if he pictured Lisa Lozano's face there... Oh, no. God, no. That was just creepy. And now his dick was completely limp. John closed his computer and leaned back against his pillow. It was the weirdest thing, to be aching like this, and not even be able to get it up. It was fucking freaky. Maybe Carson was right, and his head was scrambled for real. Or maybe he just needed a helping hand. A nice, warm hand. A hand that would take its time, pumping him slow and easy. And maybe another hand. A hand that would slide down and... Fuck. He was thinking about McKay. He was thinking about McKay. And that was just so wrong on so many levels, he couldn't even begin to list them all. Of course, even if it hadn't been wrong, it was just as bad as thinking about the damn sex chamber. Because seriously, a guy who called it gruesome and then tried to set you up with someone, anyone else, not really a candidate for a repeat performance. Not that John wanted a repeat performance. He just really, really wanted to come. And Rodney had been the only substitute that had worked, the only thing that had made the itch go away, if only for a while. He wasn't going to. He really wasn't going to. But the next thing John knew, he had his clothes back on and he was standing in the transporter, pressing the location for the northeast pier. The door to the corridor was locked. John shot out the control panel and pried it open. It took him no more than 30 seconds. He was drenched in sweat. He was writhing in the chair. He needed this to be good, to be better than good, to chase every stray thought out of his head. He wanted... Okay, now, please, now. And everything went hot and white, and he was coming hard, and it was good, really good. Not really good enough. Crap. Maybe if he stayed for another round... John's fingers shook as he tried to do up his buttons. Wow, 3 times in a row was apparently a really terrible idea. His head was woozy and his knees were rubber, and if he thought he could take it, he would have sat right back down. But, yeah, no way. If he sat down now, he might never get up again, and that would really piss Rodney off. He finally got all the buttons done, in the proper holes even, which was doing pretty damn well, and his fly fastened and his holster buckled on. But when the door to the chamber opened, there was something odd, something different. Right. The lights were on in the corridor outside, when they hadn't been before. John stumbled through the force field on still rubbery knees, and oh, hey, look who was here. His very own reluctant rescuer, in all his hunched-over, computer-tapping glory. Rodney, what a surprise. Rodney's head jerked up, and he scrambled to his feet, his computer forgotten on the chair behind him.
Is this what you call handling it on your own? Are you insane? You said you weren't going to do this. You said you...
Geez, John felt almost drunk here, because his legs really didn't want to hold him up. I said I wouldn't show up at your door at 2 in the morning again, he said. And I didn't.
Christ!
Rodney was right there in his space, and John didn't even know how he'd gotten there.
You honestly think I'd be happier to have you come down here? Oh my God, you really have gone crazy!
Actually, at this point, going nuts sounded kind of good. If he were nuts, he'd be in a nice, cozy, padded room, and he wouldn't have to deal with Rodney anymore. You know, I think you're right.
Damn it!
Rodney's eyes were wide and bright and way too concerned. And then, whoa, Rodney's hands were on his shoulders.
You can't do this! I'm going to tell Carson! I'm going to tell Heitmeyer!
Oh, crap.
No,
John said, and apparently he wasn't above begging.
God, Rodney, don't do that to me! I have to,
Rodney said fiercely. His hands tightened once, and then dropped away.
You can't handle it on your own.
I can, John promised rashly. Hey, he might not be able to stand up straight, but he could take care of himself.
I'll do better. I lasted a week. I'll make it longer next time. And what if you don't? What then? Look, I have tried helping you with this, and I am completely out of ideas. This isn't exactly my area of expertise.
John felt a rush of something weird and kind of warm, because Rodney really had tried. It wasn't his fault it had been a total disaster. Hey, I lasted 4 more days when I didn't think I was going to last 10 minutes, so don't get a complex. You did your part, okay? Rodney blinked.
Really? It helped?
How was it possible that Rodney didn't know that? Rodney was the only one, the only thing that had even...
Of course it helped. Then for God's sake, let me help you again the next time you start thinking about coming down here.
Okay, wait. That wasn't what Rodney was supposed to say. That was... Shit. That was just wrong.
I can't do that. You hated it.
I didn't hate it, Rodney said, like he actually thought John might buy that.
Okay, it was pretty awful, but if you honestly think I'd rather have you tortured by that damn machine, you don't know me very well. Promise you'll come to me if the cravings get bad again.
Rodney took a deliberate step toward him, until he was so close John could have touched him just by rolling his hips.
Promise me, Shepard.
Jesus, was this Rodney's idea of a come-on? That was both disturbing and weirdly touching.
Hey, it's not like I need anything tonight, John said, in case Rodney had forgotten.
I just, you know. And yeah, okay, maybe he wasn't exactly proud of it, but for God's sake, he'd done it for Rodney. The man could at least acknowledge that. 3 times.
Rodney's face fell. Okay, I get it, he said, though he very clearly didn't get it at all. I get that one crappy orgasm with me isn't much competition for that. I was doing the best I could, all right?
Jesus, John said. That wasn't a complaint. And shit, he'd thought things were screwed up before, but if he'd made Rodney feel guilty and inadequate in addition to everything else... He pushed himself away from the wall, his hip inadvertently brushing Rodney's as he went.
Okay, you win, he said, hard and fast before he could chicken out or come to his senses. I'll come to you if I can't handle it on my own. You happy now?
Rodney lifted his chin defiantly.
Yes.
John searched his face, but Rodney seemed pretty sure of himself there. "Okay, then," John said, and turned to go, so he wouldn't change his mind and back out and tick Rodney off one more time.
Shepherd lasted only 2 more days. When he showed up at Rodney's door, he was pale and sweating. "Oh, God, it's bad, isn't it?" Rodney said. Shepherd just nodded. "So come in already. What are you waiting for? Don't be an idiot. Take off your clothes." Shepherd barked a thin laugh and came inside the room. "God, Rodney, don't ever change, okay?" "What? What did I say?" But Shepherd was apparently too busy taking off his clothes to answer. Well, half his clothes, anyway. He kept the t-shirt on again, despite the fact that it was ringed with sweat around the neck and under the armpits. "You don't want to take that off?" Rodney asked without thinking. He had his own shirt off and was working on the pants. Shepherd's head jerked down to look at the t-shirt. "I just thought you'd be more comfortable with it on, what with the hairy chest and no..." He traced the outline of a rather generous pair of breasts in the air in front of him. "You know." Rodney rolled his eyes. "You do realize the deal-breaker is a bit south of that, right?" Shepherd gave him a half-smile. "Yeah, well, there's not much I can do about that. I just figured I'd spare you what I could." The funny thing was it had helped. Or at least Rodney had thought so at the time. Now, for whatever reason, he didn't care. "Just take it off and get on the bed, okay?" "Gee, McKay," Shepherd said as he hauled the shirt off. "I can see why you're so popular with the ladies. Do I need to remind you that you're the one who wants to have sex here?" Shepherd's face went still and the tightness came back and Rodney kicked himself mentally. "No, I think that's pretty obvious for everyone involved," Shepherd said, and went to sit on the bed. Rodney took off his last sock and went to sit next to him. It was, if anything, more awkward than last time, which really shouldn't have been possible. "Okay, why don't you..." Rodney started at the exact time that Shepherd put his hand on his thigh and said, "Look, do you want me to..." Rodney rubbed the sudden pain in his forehead with one hand. "Just lie back, okay?" Shepherd looked a little like he was going to protest, but he took his hand away, swung his feet up on the bed, and settled back onto Rodney's pillow, one arm behind his head. There was nothing surprising about the tuft of underarm hair dark against his skin, but Rodney had to drag his eyes away because, right, it was showtime. Last time he'd been taken by surprise, and, oh yeah, he'd been recovering from a blowjob. This time it felt horribly premeditated. He wondered if Shepherd wanted him to use his mouth, or do something else. Crap, he didn't want to think about that, about the fact that Shepherd had come when his hand slipped, and that maybe that was what he wanted. Only Rodney couldn't do that. Not on purpose, anyway. "Rodney?" Shepherd lifted his head. "I'm thinking. It's not a physics problem, okay? I have a dick, you have a hand. How hard can it be? Unless we want me to do you first, which is what I was trying to do in the first place." Rodney reached for him, mostly to shut him up, and Shepherd's head thumped back against the pillow. His cock felt bigger this time, fuller already, and it grew obligingly in Rodney's hand. But Rodney couldn't help himself. "This is really what you want? Because I probably could manage, "It's good," Shepherd said. "It worked last time, so stop thinking, okay?" Christ, it was like the clear blue skies thing all over again. "You know, it's not exactly my strong suit, right?" "Yeah, I know," Shepherd twisted and opened Rodney's nightstand drawer. "Here," he said, handing Rodney the hand cream. "Right, okay," Rodney said, and slicked up his palm, feeling strange but relieved, because maybe it hadn't been so bad for Shepherd last time. After all, he wanted the same thing again. He took Shepherd's cock back in his hand and gave it a good stroke, and was surprised when Shepherd's breath caught. "Okay, so not really the same as last time." He stroked again, and Shepherd's hips lifted to meet his hand. "God, okay, yeah, he could work with this." Rodney shifted until he was nice and comfortable, his knee next to Shepherd's hip, and set to work. It was a hell of a lot easier with Shepherd giving him a little feedback and helping him out with the rhythm, and it seemed almost natural to slide his left hand down to cup Shepherd's balls. This time he managed not to slip, and Shepherd grunted and pumped a little harder, and it was good. It was fine, except his mind kept wondering what Shepherd would do if he slid his fingers down just a little more, and... Damn it, he wasn't going back there, he wasn't... "Okay, wait," he said, pulling both hands away. "I need to know something." "Rodney," Shepherd groaned, "can't this wait?" "No, it can't wait," Rodney snapped. "You think I'd be asking if it wasn't important? Look, I just need to know one thing. Does that thing hurt you?" Shepherd squinted at him. "Hurt me? It gets my rocks off, McKay, and no, I'm not into pain." Rodney closed his eyes. "Does it penetrate you? Is that why you..." "It's virtual." Shepherd shifted it against him, his hip pressing against Rodney's knee. "It doesn't actually do anything. It's all in my head. I just..." His voice went low and rough. "I can feel it. Everywhere. Inside and out. And the closest I can get to it is, you know, with my fingers when I jerk off." "Oh, that made sense. More sense than anything Rodney had imagined. Not that it made the thing any less wrong." Rodney took a deep breath and opened his eyes. Well, okay then. Rodney... Yeah, yeah, Rodney said, and put his hands back to where they'd been. It was easy enough to transfer a bit of cream into his left hand, easy enough to rub at the little spot behind Shepard's balls, and it didn't take much before Shepard was rocking into his hand again and making funny little whiny sounds. So, okay, maybe it should have been weird to like that, but it was nice to know his efforts were actually doing something. Nice to be appreciated. Rodney slid a finger down a little more, and Shepard whined a little louder. Inside and out, Rodney thought, and it was sick. It was wrong that some misguided ancient device could make a person crave something like that. But if he was going to be Shepard's methadone here, he had to... It didn't take much. He was already there. He felt the puckered skin and circled it with his finger, and then Shepard spasmed against him and pushed against him, and, wow, his finger was inside. It didn't feel anything like fingering a woman. It was smoother, and there was a hell of a lot less room in there. But it wasn't bad. Actually, it was hot and tight, and Shepard was panting now, every muscle tight, his hips lifting off the bed. Rodney pumped a little harder with his right hand and pushed a little deeper with his left, and then, God, yes, Shepard was coming, his muscles squeezing Rodney's finger at the same rhythm that was making him spurt all over his stomach. Rodney pulled out as gently as he could and rested his hand on Shepard's still-shaking thigh. Shepard managed to come, mostly on himself this time rather than on the bed, so after a moment Rodney got up, went to the bathroom to wash his hands and get a damp towel. "Thanks," Shepard muttered when he came back and mopped himself up roughly. "I'll be with you in a sec." "You know what? I'm actually okay," Rodney heard himself say, which was ridiculous because what was he thinking, turning down an orgasm? Except that Shepard looked so tired and so relaxed, and he was pretty much fine the way he was. If Shepard left, he could jerk off on his own. "What?" Shepard pushed himself off, shoving the towel onto the side of the bed. "You don't want me to?" Then he flopped back down on Rodney's pillow, staring up at the ceiling. "Right, of course you don't. Look, I know this is asking a lot, but if you could just let me..." "Really? You want to?" Shepard put a hand on his forehead, shading his eyes. "Listen, the difference between that thing and real sex is that real sex is not all about me. I don't want this to be all about me." Okay, that almost made sense, except that it really didn't, since this actually was all about Shepard. "You don't have to worry about the teeth," Shepard added. "I can use my hand." Okay, Rodney thought about the teeth, and then about the suction thing, and almost asked him to reconsider, but maybe Shepard didn't want to risk not getting a warning again. "Okay, yeah, we can do this. I'll try to make sure you don't regret it. You know, actually, regret's not a really big part of my life. I mean, I've regretted a lot of sex I didn't have, but I've never really regretted..." He glanced over to see Shepard looking at him with something that was either fondness or exasperation. "Oh, right, we should get on with this." Rodney closed his mouth and dropped down onto the bed. He kind of expected Shepard to sit up and do it the way he'd done it, but Shepard just scooted over to give him room, rolled up onto his side, and reached for the hand cream. Rodney watched him get a dollop on his hand, and he wasn't getting hard already. Not really. Oh God, he was. Shepard settled down next to him again, his head propped up on his left hand, his chest brushing Rodney's shoulder. His other hand reached down across Rodney's belly and closed around his cock, cool and slippery. Rodney swallowed another babble that wanted out, closed his eyes, and tried to let go. Shepard's hand was firm and steady and a whole lot more experienced than his mouth, jacking him tight, quick strokes. It wasn't how Rodney usually did it himself, but it felt good anyway. It was surprisingly gratifying to have someone else's hand on him, someone else caring that he got off. Shepard's hand grew warmer as it kept up its rhythm, catching the underside of the head with each stroke in a way that was really quite nice. Rodney tipped his head back and went with it, rolling his hips just a little to meet Shepard's downstrokes, and wow, he could do this forever. He was floating. Clear blue skies had nothing on this. He might have made a few noises then, and might have heard something that sounded like Shepard smiling, but his eyes were closed, so he really wasn't prepared to feel something warm and wet on his... Oh, God! Shepard had just licked his nipple. "You don't... I can't..." Too sensitive, he wanted to say, but he couldn't get the words out, because Shepard was licking it again, and a bolt of unexpected pleasure shot straight down to the base of his cock. Rodney made an embarrassing little mewling noise and arched his chest up. He didn't even like nipple play. It chafed and sometimes even hurt, and even when it didn't, it got to be way too much, way too soon. But Shepard was really gentle, and okay, maybe he did like it. Maybe he really, really did, because who was to question irrefutable evidence, and oh God, he was coming. Shepard gave his nipple one last completely gratuitous lick, and then slid off the bed, leaving Rodney alone with the aftershocks. Moments later, he felt a damp swipe of a towel across his midsection. When he opened his eyes, Shepard already had his boxers on and was pulling on his pants. "Oh, right," Rodney said, because, of course, Shepard was leaving. He'd done what he came for, he'd gotten his fix, and it wasn't like Rodney wanted him to stay. "Look, Rodney," Shepard said, pulling his still-damp T-shirt over his head, "I'll make this up to you. I haven't figured out how yet, but I will. When this is all over, when I'm getting back to being me, I'll owe you one. Anything you want, okay?" Rodney sat up and resisted the urge to pull a sheet across himself, because now that Shepard was dressed, it felt a little weird to be naked. Yes, that's what it was, because the funny feeling in his gut had nothing to do with what Shepard was saying. "Really? Anything? I might hold you to that." Shepard shoved his feet into his boots without bothering to tie the laces. "You do that. Hey, I'll see you around. Just don't do anything stupid, okay?" Shepard turned and gave him a look under his eyebrows before he said, far too mildly, "You got it."
It was nothing. It was really nothing. John was sitting next to Rodney in a meeting, and he noticed he could see Rodney's nipples through his shirt. Not that he hadn't noticed that 100 times before. Seriously, he was just bored. Rodney got this look when he was excited about something. His eyes went squinty, and his cheeks went pink, and he looked like a totally different person. And he tended to hop up on things, like tables and desks, doing the squinty, sparkly, pink-cheeked thing. Also, he didn't notice when he invaded your personal space. The hair on Rodney's arms was a different texture than the hair on his chest. Pretty much the same color, though. His pubic hair was darker. Jerking off still didn't work, except when it did. John was pulling and squeezing and panting and not thinking. Not thinking at all. Certainly not thinking of Rodney or Rodney's finger up his ass, because that was his finger. Fingers. God, 2 was better than 1. 2 was really better than 1. And 3 burned a bit, but yeah, oh yeah. He really wasn't thinking about Rodney, because Rodney wouldn't want to, and John sure as hell would never ask. But oh, Jesus, if he did, if they did, if Rodney just... He was coming already, coming fast and hot, and Rodney didn't have to know about this, didn't have to know a single goddamn thing. It was John's problem, so he could cure himself any damn way he wanted to. And if he put a condom in his pocket the next time he left his room, well, that was his problem, too. Rodney never noticed that you were looking at him. Well, almost never. But usually you could fend him off with a well-timed put-down, or a deadpan tease. Telling him he had gravy on his nose worked pretty well, too.
"I'm sorry." Shepard looked like hell again, standing in Rodney's doorway. "I thought I could. I really didn't mean to do this to you again, okay?" "Fine, fine, whatever, get in here," Rodney said, and okay, he was irritated, but mostly because Shepard was so bullheaded. And what if waiting 5 days had meant he ended up back in the Northeast Pier rather than here? Rodney bent to take off his shoes. "I think it's getting a little better," Shepard said, as he unfastened his pants. "I mean, it's pretty bad tonight, but there were a couple of times I actually thought about women." "A couple of times, in 5 days." Rodney thought about women a couple of times an hour, at least, when he wasn't thinking about wormhole physics and puddle-jumper hyperdrive modules and what to do about Shepard, of course. "Like that means you're cured," he snapped, and yanked his pants down. "Look, I told you not to be an idiot, okay? You don't have to wait until you're ready to break. I'm a busy man. What are you going to do if I'm working on something when you need a fix?" Shepard froze, his shirt still over his head but still tangled around his arms. "It's usually worst in the middle of the night." "Sometimes I work in the middle of the night. Or were you too busy sleeping to notice? I'm not saying you have to stop by every night. Just use your brain. I'm pretty sure you've got one in there somewhere." "McKay, do it, John." And maybe it was underhanded, using Shepard's first name. But this idiotic attempt at, what, stoicism, chivalry, had to be nipped in the bud. Rodney tossed his shirt on the pile of discarded clothes and made his way over to the dresser. Shepard took off his watch and dog tags and put them in a pile on the rest of his clothes, but for whatever reason, he left his black wristband on. "Okay, okay, I've got it. I won't let it get this bad again." "Good." Rodney opened the drawer and took a deep breath. "All right, listen. I've been thinking about this, and I'd like to try something. You don't have to. I mean, if you don't like it, we can stop any time. Just say something, okay?" And he pulled out his navy blue necktie. Shepard's eyes flickered to the tie and then back up to Rodney's face. "Whoa," he said slowly. "Kinky." "Oh," Rodney said, because he hadn't really been thinking that way at all. Is that bad? I don't know. I never really, Right, right. You've been too busy having perfect sex with gorgeous women all your life to ever need to spice anything up. Okay, I think this will work better if you sit on the bed. Shepard came over and sat a little tentatively, like he wasn't sure he was going to like what Rodney had in mind. It wasn't very reassuring, but Rodney had thought this through, and he wasn't going to back out now. Rodney leaned forward and wrapped the tie around Shepard's head, tying it firmly so that it covered his eyes. How many fingers? He asked, holding up 3. 12, Shepard said, a little more sarcastically than was strictly necessary. Right, good. Just, can you be a little careful with it? I only have 2 ties, and I already spilled soup on the other one. Okay, Rodney, I'll do my best not to chew on your good tie. Right. Well, I think this will work best if you have something to hold on to. There was a decorative wall panel near the head of the mattress. If he shoved the bed up just a little, it would be within Shepard's reach. Hey! Shepard staggered as the bed moved out from under him. Oh, sorry, I forgot you couldn't see. I'm trusting you here, McKay. Yes, yes, okay, now lie down. On your back, and if you need to, you can grab up here. There's one of those wall panels. Shepard reached above his head and found the panel, wrapped his hands around one of the curved protrusions. He looked almost exactly the way Rodney had imagined, stretched the length of the bed, his eyes hidden and his lower face still. Only it wasn't how Rodney had imagined it at all. Shepard looked incredibly vulnerable. The weight of his trust was overwhelming. Rodney, am I supposed to just lie here? Yeah, Rodney said. His voice came out thicker than he was expecting. He cleared his throat. Yeah, like that. Rodney perched carefully on the edge of the bed, then waited another minute, counting in his head. Sensory deprivation, Shepard had said. So when you do feel something... The first place Rodney touched was as innocuous as he could make it, the inside of Shepard's ankle. But Shepard's breath stuttered. Rodney brushed the opposite knee, waited a count of 10, then trailed a finger up Shepard's ribs and was rewarded with a tiny gasp. Right. Okay, this could maybe actually work. Rodney cupped Shepard's ribcage with his palm, then bent and touched the same place with his stubble-rough cheek and watched Shepard's lips make a little O of surprise. He reached for Shepard's opposite arm and rubbed a streak down the inside of his wrist, then leaned forward and, hey, Shepard had done it to him, swiped his tongue across one of Shepard's nipples. God, Shepard whispered. And Rodney hadn't meant to talk at all, but he couldn't help himself. Is it okay? Does it feel anything like the, ascension device? Yeah, no. God, no, it's not like that at all. Oh, Rodney said, crushed. Really, are you sure? Not at all? So much for thinking it through and figuring all the angles, and damn it, he really thought this was working here. Don't stop, Shepard said, in that needy tone of voice, and okay, wow, maybe it was working, even if it wasn't working the way Rodney had planned. Right, right, not stopping, he said, and reached to run his fingers down the corded muscle of Shepard's triceps. Shepard turned his face toward the touch like he was tracking it, but the tie was still in place, so it wasn't like he could see. Rodney put a firm palm on Shepard's sternum and held it still for a moment, then slowly slid it down to Shepard's stomach. The hair made a thick trail there, but it wasn't as coarse as he'd imagined. None of this was as hard as he'd imagined. It was just Shepard, and Shepard needed this, and it was a... okay, maybe slightly demented, but nevertheless real, rush to be able to give this to give him what he needed, to feel him tense, and gasp, and shiver. Rodney trailed his hand down to Shepard's hip, carefully skirting Shepard's, wow, really quite impressive there, erection. He lifted his hand, waited a moment, and brushed it teasingly against Shepard's knee, then stroked upward to Shepard's inner thigh. When his thumb found the crease between Shepard's balls and his leg, Shepard gasped again and brought his knees up, opening, spreading, begging, without words. Rodney teased him for a moment, caressing the knee that was now pressing against his side, sliding his hand up to thumb Shepard's opposite nipple. But Shepard was actually whimpering now, and he couldn't resist that, couldn't deny that, not if he knew what Shepard wanted, and he was pretty sure he did. Rodney got up, stretched his cramped knees, and fumbled in his nightstand for the lube he'd swiped from the infirmary, because hand cream worked okay, but this had to be better. He squeezed some on the fingers of his left hand and teased a few random body parts with the quick brushes of his right, then slid 2 lubed fingers down below Shepard's balls and then, oh God, right inside him. Shepard groaned and arched off the bed, his whole body taut, hands still tightly clenched to the wall above his head. He tensed and released, working his hips, fucking himself on Rodney's fingers, and Rodney let him take what he wanted, as fast as he wanted it. Shepard's cock was leaking on his belly, like he could come just from this. And somehow, the thought of that made Rodney's cock twitch. Rodney, Shepard panted. Oh, God. It's okay, shh, it's okay, Rodney said, and touched the thumb of his hand to Shepard's lips to make his point. He wasn't really ready for Shepard's reaction, for the way Shepard's lips clung to his thumb, or the tongue that swept out to taste it. Rodney stared at Shepard's mouth and felt his own tongue come out to lick his lower lip. It was a crazy, crazy thought, and he knew he shouldn't do it, knew it was over the line, wherever the line was, but he couldn't help himself. Rodney stretched down and tentatively touched his mouth to Shepard's. Oh, God. Lips against lips was much better. And then there was movement and tongue, and, wow, yes, this is what he'd wanted, even if he hadn't known he'd wanted it. Rodney forgot his plan to tease Shepard, forgot that it wasn't what he'd intended at all, forgot his fingers still up Shepard's ass and kissed and kissed. There was nothing in the galaxy better than Shepard's mouth, nothing more satisfying than the rasp of stubble on skin, and nothing more astonishing than the fact that Shepard was kissing him back just as hungrily. Rodney memorized the shape of Shepard's lower lip with his teeth, nipping, sucking, licking, opening his mouth so Shepard could explore him too. He felt drunk with the joy of it, the overload of sensation, the sweet, wet heat of mouth against mouth. "Jesus, Rodney," Shepard said against his lips, "fuck me already." Oh, God, was that what they were doing here? He hadn't even thought. Oh, wow, his fingers were still inside Shepard, and Shepard was rocking onto them. "I don't, actually. I brought a condom," Shepard breathed. "Right front pants pocket." "Okay, yeah, okay, already," Rodney heard himself say, and he managed to wrench his mouth away from Shepard's, slid his fingers out, too, and stumbled to his feet. Pants, pants, right there. And yes, there was the packet. Rodney's left hand was too slippery, so he tore the packet with his teeth, fumbled the condom out, and rolled it onto his cock with shaking fingers. He couldn't believe. I hadn't intended. God, he was really going to do this. He climbed back onto the bed between Shepard's knees. Shepard still had his arms stretched over his head and had a necktie knotted around his eyes. "You know, you really could let go of the wall," Rodney said. "Aren't you uncomfortable?" "I'm good," Shepard said, lifting his head like he was searching for Rodney's lips. "You want the blindfold?" "On," Shepard said. "Rodney, come on." Rodney swallowed hard and lowered himself onto Shepard's hips. Balanced himself as best he could on one hand so that he could use the other one to guide himself. Shepard rolled his hips up and wrapped his heels around Rodney's ass, and whoa, he was there. He was sliding in, and oh, wow, that felt better than anything. Rodney planted his hands on either side of Shepard's shoulders and curled down to find Shepard's mouth with his. It was all a haze then, tasting Shepard, pumping into him, feeling him arch and twist, and God, Shepard was strong. Shepard was using his legs to pull Rodney in harder, faster, and he wasn't going to last. He really wasn't. But he couldn't get ahead of Shepard here. Rodney broke the kiss and pushed himself up until he could reach Shepard's cock. He gave it a few quick, sharp tugs, and then, thank God, Shepard was tensing under him and around him, and Rodney could stop fighting it and just fuck and fuck until he came. Sanity came back slowly. Rodney rested his forehead against Shepard's shoulder for a long moment, and then slowly and carefully pulled out. Shepard had finally let go of the wall panel. His arms had to be aching. But he didn't touch Rodney as Rodney got up and headed for the bathroom. He almost didn't recognize himself in the mirror. His hair was a sweaty, spiky mess, and his face was red with beard burn. Rodney tossed the condom out in the recycler unit that also served as a toilet, and turned the faucet on so he could splash water on his hot face. So he just, what, fucked a man, fucked John Shepard, and liked it. And why had it been so much easier to deal with the fumbling, stupid, bad sex than it was to deal with... Okay, no way that was even close to bad sex. That was the best sex he'd had in so long, he couldn't remember better. And how was that even possible when Shepard was using him and he was just taking his turn in the whole saving each other's lives thing they had going? Rodney braced himself against the counter, willing his certified genius brain to figure this one out for him. He didn't even know what he wanted here. He wanted to march back out there and tell Shepard, "This is ridiculous, we have to find you someone else." He wanted to wake up and discover that this was nothing but a seriously kinky wet dream. He wanted to fuck John Shepard, just as soon as he possibly could manage to get it up again. Oh God, this is not what he had signed up for. He hadn't meant to do it. Things had just escalated, and escalated again, and now he had no idea what he was supposed to do next, no idea what Shepard was thinking in there, no idea how to handle this. Everything was totally screwed, now that they had screwed, and, whoa, he was getting a little hysterical here, and really what he needed was to have Shepard standing next to him, telling him to take it easy, calm down, and breathe into a paper bag or something. It was just sex. Never mind that it had felt like a 40-car train wreck. It was just sex. And he was perfectly capable of walking out of the bathroom door and facing Shepard, perfectly capable of telling him... what, exactly? He had no idea. He only knew... if that vile excuse for an ascension enabler made Shepard feel anything like what he was feeling right now, he totally understood why the habit was so hard to break. Rodney took a leak, washed his hands and face one more time, and stepped back out into the room. It was dimmer than it had been, and for a moment he thought Shepherd had left. But no, he was still there, still on the bed. Rodney came over, still not sure what he was going to say, and then he saw the tie, neatly folded on the corner of the mattress. Next to it, one hand hugging the pillow to his cheek, Shepherd lay sprawled on his stomach, sound asleep. He looked different in his sleep. With his mouth half open, the tension gone from his face, he looked peaceful. "For the record," Rodney said quietly, "that wasn't what I meant to do at all." Shepherd didn't so much as stir. Rodney bent and touched his shoulder, meaning to tell him to wake up already and put his clothes on, but Shepherd just sort of sighed and sprawled a little wider. Rodney pulled his hand away and straightened. Didn't it just figure when Shepherd slept, he used every inch of the mattress? Rodney reached down and found the crumpled covers at the foot of the bed, then pulled them up carefully to cover Shepherd to his shoulders. Then, with a long-suffering sigh, he found himself a spare blanket and flopped down on the couch. They could hash it out in the morning, he decided, too tired to worry any more what he was going to say. But in the morning, Shepherd was gone.
John spent the morning catching up on his email and his mission reports in his office. At least he didn't have any meetings with anyone but military personnel, so the likelihood that he'd run into Rodney by accident was pretty low. "Colonel Shepherd," Rodney's voice said from his radio, "I need you in the main puddle jumper bay." John's heart jumped to life in his chest. "What, now?" "Well, yes, if you can make it. I mean, it's not crucial, but Zelenka and I need to run some tests, and we could use your assistance." God, Rodney sounded like Rodney, and John was not getting hard just from hearing his voice over the radio. He really wasn't. "All right, I'll be there in a few." Rodney was waiting next to Jumper 3 when John got to the bay. His hair was kind of fluffy, and his chin was up, and John really wanted to touch him. "Hi," Rodney said. "Right. Work." He was here to help Rodney, not to... "What kind of tests do you need me to do?" "We need to talk," Rodney said. "Oh, shit." He didn't need this, couldn't face it right now. Rodney looked determined, which really didn't bode well for this kind of conversation. At all. John took a deep breath. "Look, Rodney, I'm working on it, okay? Thanks for what you did last night. It was really helpful, and I think I might be getting to the point where I won't need it again, okay? So you don't need to worry about it." "Oh," Rodney said, but he was still frowning. "I see." "Rodney, what is taking so long?" Damn, that was Zelenka's voice from inside the jumper, and how had John forgotten that he was supposed to be here too? Rodney looked even more annoyed. "I'm just explaining to Shepherd what tests we need him to run." Oh, sure he was. But Zelenka was still talking. "I do not understand why you have involved Colonel Shepherd. You have the gene. You could do it yourself." Rodney rolled his eyes. "He's a pilot. If anyone can run a thorough systems check, it's him." "Fine, fine," Zelenka said. "Can we get on with it now?" "Getting on," Rodney snapped, and waved John toward the jumper's hatch. It was totally unfair that Rodney was appealing even when he was annoyed. "Thanks for the make work, Rodney," John said. "It's not make work," Rodney said. "You're the best man for the job." John made a face that Rodney probably didn't even notice, and made his way into the jumper. The rear compartment was half obstructed by a complicated-looking device, which had long coils sticking out the sides, and a screen attached at the far end. The display was just numbers, scrolling by faster than John could read them. "That's a hyperdrive?" It looked more like an air conditioner on steroids. "Seriously?" "It was assembled from materials at hand," Rodney said. "It's not supposed to look pretty." "Does it work?" "That's what you're here to tell me, remember?" "Right." John made his way to the pilot's seat, and brought up the HUD while Rodney dropped into the seat next to him. "See if you can get the hyperdrive to respond to the jumper's controls," Rodney was saying, "and tell me whatever you can about how it interfaces with the jumper's navigation system." John was already on it, pulling up display after display as the jumper evaluated its shiny new drive. There were, okay, Some red flags here and there, but from what he could tell, it was amazingly cool. Rodney had fed the hyperdrive controls into the HUD to give him easy access, and the interface was nicely logical and wouldn't interfere with the jumper's ordinary systems at all. Sweet. John ran some more systems checks. Okay, another flag or two. But damn, if it actually worked. It was one thing to know Rodney was a genius. It was quite another to experience that firsthand. And wow, if he sat here much longer, he was going to get a hard-on from a puddle jumper, and that was just wrong. John told the jumper to consolidate the error flags into a single display, and Rodney muttered a thanks and connected his laptop so he could download the readout. John climbed to his feet and stuck his hands in his pockets, just in case there was something obvious there. "You need me for anything else?" Rodney glanced up at him sharply, but then looked back down at his screen. "No, thanks. I think we're good here. You just saved us a couple of hours of work." "Glad I could help," John said. "See you later, McKay." And it was mercy to leave. It really was, because if he stayed any longer, he might do something stupid. Something really, really stupid, with Zelenka right there in the back of the jumper.
Shepard wasn't anywhere, except when he was everywhere. Like standing right outside Elizabeth's office when Rodney came out of a meeting, and of course, Shepard being Shepard, he managed to park that long body of his exactly where Rodney needed to walk. Rodney reeled back. "Oh, hi." "Hi," Shepard said. He looked almost as off balance as Rodney felt. I have a meeting with Elizabeth." "Yes, right, of course." It wasn't like he thought Shepard was looking for him. "You okay?" "Yeah, sure," Shepard said, a little too lightly. "I'm good." "Were you planning to, stop by tonight?" The words were out of Rodney's mouth before he even thought to stop them, and Shepard flinched, visibly. "Damn it." "You mean for a game of chess?" Shepard asked. "What?" There was no way Shepard hadn't understood that. There was no reason. "Oh, yeah, Elizabeth." "Oh, right. Yes, a game of chess." Shepard's chin lifted. "Actually, I've got a few things I need to do," he said. "Not really sure if I can make it." There was no sense in feeling rejected. He wasn't asking Shepard to stop by. He was just trying to plan his evening. "Oh, right, then. Maybe some other time." "Sure," Shepard said casually, like it didn't mean a thing. "See you later." There was nothing to say but "see you," and head off while Shepard went into his meeting.
Rodney answered the door, looking rumpled and surprised and perfect. "Okay, I was wrong," John said, and he was. Very, very wrong. "I'm trying, but I can't. Look, can I come in?" "What, you think I'm going to say no?" Rodney stepped to the side, waving him in. "I'm in this for the duration. I mean, unless you decide to find someone else." God, it was still wrong. It was really still wrong. But when Rodney said things like that... "Right," John said. "Like that's going to happen," and reached for Rodney's fly. He got the button undone and shoved Rodney's boxers down, and Rodney was half-hard already. John was on his knees in a moment, sucking Rodney in, sucking hard the way Rodney had liked it the first time. And God, yes, it was working. Rodney's cock was thick and hot in his mouth. He sucked it again, and a third time, and then pulled away to yank Rodney's pants down a little further. He wanted them off right now, and, whoops, he'd forgotten Rodney's shoes. "Here, wait, let me help," Rodney said, and bent down so fast he nearly cracked John's head. John dodged out of the way, and Rodney sat down heavily, but hey, that made the shoes easier at least. John tugged them off, then the pants too. "Come on," he said, and pulled on Rodney's shirt. This time Rodney managed to help him, and they got the shirt off over his head together, and that was good. That was very good. Naked Rodney was much better. John bent and gave Rodney's cock a couple more quick, hard sucks, and then tore himself away so he could get his own clothes off. "Jesus," Rodney said, "where's the fire?" John couldn't answer, couldn't say anything at all. He needed this so badly, and Rodney's cock was right there, and he had to lean down and suck it one more time. "Oh, God," Rodney whimpered, and pushed up into his mouth, like he couldn't stop himself, and wow, that made two of them. John sat up and scrambled for the condom he'd brought. It was in his pants. No, not Rodney's. His. Right. There. When he turned back around, Rodney was still sprawled back on his elbows, looking completely poleaxed with his cock jutting, dark and shiny, straight in the air. John swallowed hard, because Rodney wanted this. Even if he freaked out later, he wanted it now, and that was... God, that was... John unrolled the condom over Rodney's cock, and Rodney watched him like it was the most fascinating thing ever. And then Rodney sat up and reached over to stroke John's face, and John had to duck away or kiss him. Right. John reached for Rodney's arm and gave it a tug. Bed, Rodney. Okay, bed. Bed's good. A lot more comfortable than the floor, anyway. John staggered to his feet and found the nightstand and the lube that Rodney had stashed there. You'd really think, with all their technology, Rodney was saying, completely irrelevantly, the ancients would have thought to invent rugs. John got some lube on his fingers and stuck them right up his ass, because he was ready, damn it. He was long since ready. He climbed onto the bed and laid himself out, face down. Rodney? Yes, yes, I'm right here, Rodney said, although he obviously wasn't. John wriggled impatiently, and then Rodney really was right there, his cock exactly where it needed to go, and John pushed back and Rodney pushed in until they were both panting and shaking. Rodney held himself still while John took a couple of deep breaths, and then Rodney was pulling back, and it was good. It was so good. Oh, God. It was going to be over in about 10 seconds. Do me slow, John begged. Slow as you can. What? Rodney froze halfway into his thrust. You tear off both our clothes like the city's on fire, and you want it slow? Okay, okay, put that way it sounded nuts, but since this might very well be the last time they fucked. I need it now, McKay, but I want it to last. God, Rodney thrust all the way in, fast and hard and way too good. John groaned. That's your idea of slow? Rodney huffed, pulling out again. I'm trying. But this time he slid in far more deliberately, and John could feel every millimeter of his cock as it pressed inside. God, it was torture. Rodney thrust again, achingly slowly, and John felt like he was coming apart. Every inch of him was screaming for more, faster, harder. But he couldn't give in. He wouldn't. He twisted his fists in Rodney's pillow and hung on while Rodney eased in again and again. It was astonishing. It was maddening. Rodney was doing this for him, to him, and Rodney was making a soft little gasp at the end of every stroke. God, Rodney! Rodney eased back again. Good? You have no idea. John hitched his hips up, and Rodney slid in again, hitting the sweet spot just exactly right. It was so good. It was almost perfect. The only way it would have been better is if he could feel Rodney's mouth against his. John buried his face in the pillow, not asking for that, not letting himself ask. And then he felt Rodney's weight on his back and the warm, soft, damp brush of lips on the back of his neck. Jesus, John said, and bucked against him. Rodney thrust wildly back, and John was close, so close. He couldn't wait any longer, couldn't bear it any longer, needed it right now. Sorry, sorry, Rodney said. I didn't mean... Do it again, John gasped. Rodney! Like this? Rodney asked, stroking in again, hard and fast. Yes, damn it, yes! Rodney thrust into him again, and John surged to meet him. They matched each other, push and shove, and every stroke brought John closer and closer still. And then he felt Rodney's hand wrap, warm and startling, around his cock. Oh, John said, and came. Rodney groaned and thrust one more time, and then he was there too, holding himself taut and still, and John could feel the pulse of his orgasm from the inside. And then Rodney collapsed down onto him, nuzzling and sucking and licking wherever he could reach, and it was all John could do not to turn his head and nuzzle back. They lay like that for ages. It wasn't nearly long enough. John's heart slowed, and Rodney's licking went more desultory and then stopped altogether, replaced by the weight of his cheek against John's spine. And then, far too soon, Rodney rolled off him and flopped over onto his back. John propped himself up on one elbow. "Hey." Rodney looked sated and sweaty and wonderful. "Hey." "I should go," John said. "You could stay," Rodney said, completely matter-of-factly. John bit the inside of his cheek. Rodney had to be offering his couch, because the bed really wasn't big enough for two. They'd have to sleep wrapped around each other. "Can't," he said desperately, and pushed himself up off the bed. "I have to change your sheets again." Rodney rolled his eyes. "Leave it. Come on, we can take a shower first." God, he didn't mean together. He couldn't possibly mean together. But it had sure as hell sounded like he meant together. And that would be... Jesus. John took refuge in searching Rodney's drawers for a set of clean sheets. "Can't make the bed with you in it." Rodney made a face and got off the bed, and John stripped off the wet sheets and put the clean ones on, neat and tight. He shouldn't have come here. He was painfully aware of it now, and yes, he'd been lying to himself nearly as much as he was lying to Rodney, because it didn't make a damn bit of difference whether they kissed or not. He'd taken advantage. He could see that now that he wasn't blinded with lust. He'd taken advantage, and now Rodney was acting really weird, and he couldn't... God, he had to get out of here. When he looked up again, Rodney was watching him with his arms crossed over his bare chest. "So I guess you're okay, then." John wasn't okay. He wasn't anywhere near okay. But Rodney was asking, and Rodney was worried again. "Yeah, Rodney, I'm okay." "That's good," Rodney said. "That's really good. I mean, that's the whole point of this, right? To get you back to being okay?" John nodded. "The whole goddamn point." He pulled the blanket tight, tucked the last corner, and then headed for the pile of his clothes. His boxers were still inside his pants, so he yanked them out and stepped into them. "Then I take it I'll just see you around," Rodney said, in a weird, bitter voice. And yes, okay, he had a point there. It wasn't like they hadn't been through this 3 times already. He had to be heartily sick of John saying one thing and doing another. "Crap," John said, and yanked his T-shirt down over his head. "Look, I swear I'm trying. I know it doesn't look like it, but I am. If it is humanly possible, I won't be back, okay?" "Yes, yes, okay," Rodney said, though he didn't sound convinced. John finished dressing, still searching for the right thing to say, the thing that would prove that he really was sorry, the thing that would force him to actually do what he said he was going to do. "Go," Rodney said, with a wave of his hand. And it was relief John was feeling, nothing but relief, when he gave Rodney one last look and turned to go.
Rodney lasted 4 days, and actually, he thought he was doing pretty well. He and Radek worked on the hyperdrive. He saw Shepard in the mess. They went on a mission to a backwater planet where all the trees were stunted, and strange, large-eyed, monkey-like creatures spat at them. Ronan stunned one with his gun, but Shepard wouldn't let him take it back to Atlantis. Rodney wasn't sure whether he wanted it for food or a pet, and seriously didn't want to find out. No one was really talking all that much when they got home. Shepard looked good. No more gray complexion, no more signs of exhaustion, and if he still looked flushed occasionally, it was probably too much sun on the backwater planets. Rodney deliberately chose to sit next to Radek in the mess, and Shepard sat with Ronan and Tayla. It was good. They were good. Everything was fine. "Rodney," Radek said, "you look like an animated corpse. Have you been to the infirmary?" "What? No, I'm fine. For your information, I did not pick up some sort of alien space bug on the planet of the mini-apes." "Are you certain? It wouldn't hurt to have a quick checkup." "Oh, for God's sake, there is nothing wrong with me." Nothing that a quick, or slow, or really anywhere in between, fuck with Shepard wouldn't fix. "Now you have me worried," Radek said. "It's not like you to turn down the chance to indulge in your hypochondria. Are you sure you haven't caught what Colonel Shepard had?" "Oh, please," Rodney rolled his eyes and dug into his dinner. But he kept thinking about it, even after dinner was long over and he was checking on a few things in the lab. because what if Radek was right and the addiction was contagious? Well, okay, not literally contagious, but transferable? The mechanism was obvious enough. Hot sex, anyone? And the fact that he'd gone into this situation thinking he was immune had probably only made him more vulnerable. According to the alarm he'd set, it had been 14 days since anyone had been in the corridor in the Northeast Pier. So maybe 14 days was what it took. And if that were true, all he had to do was go 14 days without touching Shepard, and he'd be free of his craving, too. Crap. Rodney propped his cheeks on his fists, blindly staring at his computer screen. He didn't want to go 14 days without touching Shepard. He didn't want to go one day without touching Shepard. He wanted to be touching Shepard right now. Out of nothing but pure, idle curiosity, he linked to the city's life signs monitor on his laptop. The evening was settling down. People were heading for their quarters one by one. In Shepard's quarters, there was one life sign. One quiet, unmoving life sign. He didn't actually make the decision, but the next moment Rodney was out of his chair, heading for the transporter. And then he was outside Shepard's door, passing his hand over the crystals to sound the door chime. Nothing happened. Rodney stood there, waiting, but Shepard didn't answer. Surely it was too early for him to be asleep. Rodney sounded the door chime again and heard a muffled curse from inside. Long moments later, the door slid open. Shepard's face was definitely flushed this time. His hair was sticking out at the sides as well as on top, and, oh God, his t-shirt was on inside out. Rodney couldn't help himself. His eyes drifted down to Shepard's crotch, to the painfully obvious tent in Shepard's pants, to the bare feet down below. Rodney gulped and tore his eyes away. Shepard had been jerking off. And, okay, maybe that shouldn't be any of his business, but Shepard had made it his business, and he wanted... "Can I come in?" he asked, and was amazed that the words actually came out relatively intelligible. "No," Shepard said, short and unequivocal. Rodney glanced around. The corridor was deserted. "Look, I could help you with that," he said, with a quick jerk of his chin downwards. "I'll make it worth your while." "No," Shepard said, a little less smoothly. "Rodney, don't do this." "Oh, what, it's okay for you to show up at my door, but not if I come to you? How is that fair?" Okay, that probably wasn't the right word. It wasn't like fairness ever had anything to do with this thing between them. "I could maybe try giving you a blowjob." The words tumbled out all on their own. "I mean, I'm sure I wouldn't be much better at it than you were the first time, but I might be able to figure out that suction thing, and trust me, it is worth experiencing at least once." Shepard closed his eyes. His jaw clenched and his arms were crossed tight over his chest, his fingers shoved into his armpits. "Rodney," he said in that tight, rough voice he got when things were really bad on a mission, "I can't, and I don't know what the hell you think you're doing, but whatever it is, stop." Oh, God. Shepard was right. He had absolutely no idea what he was doing. He wasn't acting rationally at all, and the thought was like a cold bucket of water poured directly over his brain. "Okay, right, that really wasn't why I stopped by," Rodney lied. He scrambled for a cover story. Anything to get him out of this mess. "Actually, I wanted to ask if you could run some more tests on the puddle jumper again. Of course, I've already tried it myself. It's highly unlikely I'm missing anything, but in the interest of thoroughness, I'd really like you to give it a run-through." Shepard's eyes narrowed, like it could see right through that. "Right now?" No, tomorrow's fine," Rodney babbled. "I just wanted to, you know, give you a little warning, since I did kind of spring it on you last time." Shepard looked down and away for a moment, and Rodney couldn't help himself. He stole a glance at Shepard's pants again. The tent looked just as impressive as before. "Okay, whatever, tomorrow," Shepard said. "Now, do you mind?" Rodney took a deep breath. He was safe. Shepard had believed him, or close enough. They didn't ever have to talk about this again. "You know, I'd let you fuck me." Oh, God, he hadn't just said that. "I mean, if you wanted to, I wouldn't mind. In fact, I think I might like it." He hadn't even been thinking that. Well, not really. Not often. "Christ, Rodney," Shepard put one hand out to grab the doorframe like he needed it for support. "You don't get it, do you? Look, I've just traded one addiction for another, and you know what? This one is actually harder to fight. I've got this..." He made a short, choppy gesture with his hand. "This fucking ache in my gut, and the funny thing is, sex was never that big a deal for me. I mean, don't get me wrong, I always liked it, but I didn't need it like this. It was never a craving before. But you're only making it worse by coming here, and if you want me to fight it, you're going to have to go away. Right now, Rodney." Rodney stared at him, unable to find one word, not one single word, to say to that. Shepard was torturing himself, denying himself, when it didn't even have to be that way, when Rodney wanted it too, when they could be addicted together, damn it, and what was his problem anyway? It didn't take a genius to see that they could be a hell of a lot happier fucking than they were like this. But damn it, Shepard thought Rodney was part of the problem. Part of the problem. After he'd worked so hard at being the solution. Rodney almost said that. Almost blurted out the whole miserable proposition, and then he remembered. Shepard was straight. And the whole reason he'd asked Rodney rather than some random, but no doubt more appealing, woman, was that, oh yeah, he didn't want it to be a relationship. He didn't want to be encumbered. And even if Rodney wasn't asking for that, well, okay, he kind of was. He could see that. He was asking Shepard to give him something back, to make whatever was between them a two-way street, and apparently that was enough to freak Shepard out. Oh, wow, okay, sorry, Rodney said, and stumbled back a few feet from Shepard's door. It won't happen again. Just go do your thing. He waved his hand vaguely in the direction of Shepard's tented pants, and I'll go do mine. You do that, Shepard said, but his voice kind of cracked on the last word. Rodney forced himself to look away. Forced himself to walk all the way to the transporter without looking back. This wasn't what he wanted. He didn't even care if Shepard was addicted to sex rather than anything to do with him, but it was what Shepard wanted. And, God, he was pretty far gone if that was what mattered most, but it did. Rodney pressed the location for the hall near his quarters and turned around. He was out of sight of Shepard's doorway. So, okay, maybe he did care. Maybe he did want Shepard to want him, for himself, not just a means to an end. But he wasn't asking for that. Mostly, he really just wanted to be having sex with Shepard right now. Fucking him. Or being fucked. And why was that even remotely appealing? It wasn't exactly something he'd wanted before. Except Shepard seemed to like it. Shepard really seemed to like it, and he wanted to know what it felt like, what the appeal was, and if it would work for him, too. Inside and out. God. It was only a few more steps back to his quarters, home sweet home. Rodney set the door to lock and sat down on his bed. Shepard was probably jerking off again right now, taking it slow, because that's what he liked. Rodney wondered if he did it on the bed, lying down or kneeling. And did he remember to get a towel or something, or did he just make a mess and then have to change his own sheets? Rodney swallowed hard. His pants were tented now, as bad as Shepard's. He took them off, slowly, shucking his shoes and socks along the way, and then pulled his shirt over his head. Shepard would be on his back, he decided, propped up on his pillow. Rodney arranged his own pillow, leaned back, and took his cock in his hand. It wasn't the first time he'd beat off thinking about Shepard. It wasn't a big deal. Except that somehow knowing Shepard was doing the exact same thing made it strangely intimate. Even if they were doing it like this because Shepard didn't want to have actual sex with him. Shepard might be thumbing his head like this right now. He might be giving a long pull. He might be... God, he probably was. He probably had his fingers up his ass. Right now. Rodney reached for the nightstand drawer and squeezed some lube onto his left index finger. He leaned back again, pulled his balls up a little with his right hand, and slid his finger down into his crease. Okay, wow, that was cold and slippery and really not all that pleasant. He wondered if Shepard liked that part, or if it was just something he put up with to get to the good part. Right, the good part. Rodney circled his finger experimentally, and it felt strange. Really, not what he was expecting. But Shepard had come from less than this the first time, so maybe there was something he was missing. Rodney circled again, then pushed, and that felt even stranger. He could feel his fingers in there, and it was bigger than he expected. Only he kept getting distracted by the fact that it was his finger, and he could feel himself. It was just as tight and smooth as Shepard was inside, so maybe this would work better if it was Shepard doing it to him. Rodney grabbed his cock, which had wilted down to half-mast already, and gave it a pull. If it were Shepard's finger in him. Okay, that worked. Yeah, that was better. Because Shepard would be pushing in a little more, slowly and carefully. And Shepard would be watching him to see if he liked it. Shepard might lean forward and suck on him while he did it, and his hair would be all fluffy and tweaky in Rodney's lap, and Rodney would reach down to pet it. Shepard would look up at him and do something with his finger and... Oh, God! Rodney curled up off his pillow, driving his finger deeper, twisting it, and there, God, right there, was what Shepard meant by inside and out. That was what he liked, and yes, yes, okay, Rodney got that. Rodney really got that. He wiggled his finger around until he found the right spot again, and when he did, it was like when Shepard had licked his nipple. 2 points of pleasure instead of one, and it was a relief, seriously a relief, to understand, to know that there really was something to like there, and that it wasn't just Shepard had been warped by that damn ascension device. The hand on Rodney's cock started to move faster of its own accord. If Shepard were still jerking off in his own room, he had to be getting close. He had to be aching for it, needing it. And Shepard had to know what Rodney was doing. He was smart. He would have figured it out. And maybe he was even thinking about Rodney right now, since Rodney was thinking about him. Rodney found that magic spot inside him, and that magic spot on the outside, too, and then he was coming all over himself. It wasn't like having sex with Shepard, but it was what he had.
It was, oddly enough, easier to deal with Rodney now that everything was out in the open. John ate breakfast with him in the morning, and it was fine. Zelenka sat with them, and they talked about the hyperdrive, and everything was perfectly normal. And if Rodney waved him off when he asked when they needed him to run tests, well, that was easier, too. "Radek and I need to recheck the power regulation algorithms," Rodney said around a mouthful of cheese Danish. "Give us a day or two." A day or two turned into four, not that he was counting. And of course when Rodney finally did call him, he was in the middle of a meeting. Fortunately, it was a meeting he could wrap up quickly, and if Harcourt noticed he was distracted and a little flushed, at least she didn't say anything. It was stupid, anyway. It was just a damn jumper test. It wasn't like he was out to prove anything. And yes, okay, the cravings were as bad as ever, but he wasn't going to jump Rodney. Not with Zelenka there, anyway. Rodney didn't even smile at him when he showed up, just waved him into the pilot's seat and stood behind him, muttering over his data pad. John shrugged and brought up the hyperdrive interface on the HUD. He ran every systems check he could think of, and a couple he couldn't, prompted by Rodney, and didn't find a single red flag. The jumper felt ready under his hands, and maybe that was his imagination, but he couldn't shake the feeling that it was as eager to try the new drive as he was. "So," he said, swiveling in the pilot's chair, "when do I get to take her out?" Rodney blinked at him. "Well, we weren't actually planning. I mean, obviously it's ready, since it checked out perfectly for both of us, but..." "Hey," John said, because Rodney was going weird on him here. "There's no time like the present, and nothing more you can twiddle with without test data, right?" "Okay, okay," Rodney said. "Take it up. Just don't break anything, okay?" "I won't harm a filament on its head. So how far can I jump? You want me to try for the nearest gate? What is that? M3D-847? M3D-084, Rodney said. "And no, you can't jump that far. This is its first test flight. I don't want you to take it outside the Lantean solar system. Keep an eye on the stability of the hyperspace window. And stay in radio contact." "You got it," John said with a grin. "Now, are you going to get out of the jumper, or are you coming with me?" Rodney just stood there, staring at him like he'd just suggested they fly off into the sunset together or something. "Rodney?" "Leaving," Rodney said. "Look, just don't do anything idiotic, okay?" John swallowed a smile. "Thanks for the vote of confidence." "Any time," Rodney said. He gave John one last look, then turned and made his way out the back hatch. John powered up the jumper and took it through the bay roof, accelerating out of the planet's atmosphere. It felt good to be doing something for Rodney. Not that they were trading favors or anything, because there was no way he could play that game. He wasn't even in the running. But he could do little things, and testing Rodney's hyperdrive had to count for something. He brought up the display and rechecked the hyperdrive readouts, but everything still looked good, and he was far enough away from Lantia to initiate the test. "Rodney, you with me?" he said into his radio. "Yeah, I'm here." "All right, here it goes then." He set the coordinates for a short hop. "Opening hyperspace window in 10, 9, 8. "What's the stability?" Rodney demanded. John glanced at the display. 0.023%. "We are all systems go. 3, 2, 1. Catch you on the other side." And he initiated the sequence to open up the window. It shimmered in front of the jumper, bright and shifting and impossible to look at. The HUD still showed the stability at 0.023, so John sent the jumper in. He barely had time to register the swirling lights of hyperspace when he was out already, somewhere in the vicinity of the orbit of the tertiary planet. Cool, John said. A quick systems check showed everything running in the green. And he did a quick calculation in his head. Almost exactly 4 light minutes from home. Everything looks good. Initiating second jump in 8 minutes unless you tell me otherwise. Exactly 8 minutes later, Rodney's voice came through. Go ahead, but keep your eye on the stability. So John jumped, and jumped again, and made it all the way to M3D-084 and back. By the time he brought the jumper back down through the bay roof, he had figured out 47 distinct tactical uses for it, and he was half-hard in his pants. Rodney was there when he lowered the hatch. Oh my God, he said, eyes wide. It worked! John couldn't even stop himself. He was right there in Rodney's face, his hands on Rodney's shoulders, a grin splitting his face. Coolest thing ever, Rodney! Seriously! I can't believe it, Rodney said. Carter said it couldn't be done without Nequadria, and I proved her wrong. I totally proved her wrong. You did, John said. You really did. And he didn't even know who made the move. He thought it was Rodney, but maybe it was him. Not that it mattered, because Rodney's mouth was open and warm and eager, pushing against his, and it was good. God, so good. Rodney was taking as much as he was giving, and after days of denial, John couldn't fight it. He was too goddamn tired of fighting it. Rodney slid one hand around John's neck and pulled him closer, brushing a hip against John's aching cock, and John gasped. They were in the open hatch of a fucking puddle jumper, and he didn't care. He didn't care about anything except the heat of Rodney's body against his. Jesus, Rodney said, and tore his mouth away. I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. John just stood there panting. Rodney was right. They couldn't do this. Rodney was still freaked out about being the object of an addiction. Only he hadn't felt freaked out. He'd felt... Crap, John said. Apparently being addicted to a person was a hell of a lot more complicated than being addicted to a stupid ancient ascension device. Can we just pretend that didn't happen? Rodney said. Maybe just rewind the conversation back to the part about the hyperdrive being the coolest thing ever? I like that part. It is the coolest thing ever, John said, because it was. Do you have any idea how many things we can use this for? No more sitting around waiting for the Daedalus when we need a rescue. And the potential for intelligence gathering alone. Rodney! That was Zelenka, just outside the hatch. It worked! John took a smooth step back, and Rodney's jerky turn was close enough to normal for Rodney that Zelenka probably didn't even notice anything. John crossed his arms over his chest while Rodney and Zelenka went into full technobabble mode. It was tempting to stay and watch. Way too tempting. But he wanted to talk to Elizabeth about strategies for using the hyperdrive, and Rodney wasn't paying any attention to him anyway. Besides, before he faced Rodney again, whether it involved kissing or no kissing, there was something he had to do.
The sound of an alarm woke him, a steady beeping right next to his ear. Rodney shook his sleep-muzzled head and reached for the alarm clock. Then he woke up enough to realize he didn't own an alarm clock, and it was his computer beeping at him from the nightstand where he'd apparently left it when he fell asleep. Oh, shit, 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 it was the alarm from the northeast pier. Rodney was fully, horribly awake in an instant, his heart pounding, his hands flying on the keyboard. One life sign, headed down the corridor. Rodney dove for his earpiece and fumbled the radio on and shouted, Shepard! Just as the life sign winked out. Damn it. Damn it all the fucking hell. Why? Why would Shepard do that when he was cured? He had to be cured. He practically said he was cured. And how had things gotten so screwed up that he couldn't even ask Rodney for sex when he needed it? Rodney grabbed his shoes. It was stupid and wrong and idiotic, and had he mentioned wrong, even if it almost made sense why Shepard didn't want to have sex with him, he still shouldn't go risking his sanity, his life, just to avoid some emotional entanglement. It wasn't like Rodney was going to insist on anything. He hadn't even asked for anything. Shepard was being an idiot, and Rodney had no idea what to do about it, apart from the obvious rant he was going to let loose just as soon as Shepard came out of there. The corridor was only dimly lit, and Rodney was tempted to bring the power up to the sector. He was looking around, trying to catch sight of the faint shimmer of the force field when something grabbed him and yanked him hard behind a pillar, an arm around his waist. Oh, got Shepard's arm, and Shepard's voice in his ear growling, "Fire in the fucking hole, McKay!" An explosion rocked the corridor, debris flying past them, and Rodney jerked back against Shepard's body, which was warm and real and alive and not in there. Okay, he was a genius, but sometimes it took him half a second to process things, and Shepard had just blown up the damn ascension device. "Oh my God," Rodney said, still plastered hard against Shepard. "You are insane." "Yep," Shepard said, laconic and smug. "Might have even used enough C4. "Rodney?" That was Elizabeth's voice in his earpiece, sleepy and worried. "Was there just an explosion?" "Oh, hey, yeah, actually there was." Shepard elbowed him on his way to tapping his own radio. "Don't worry about it, Elizabeth. McKay and I have it under control." "Right, right. Cover story. They need Elizabeth mostly out of the loop here. Colonel Shepard just figured out how to take that force field down." "At 2 o'clock in the morning?" Shepard quivered against Rodney, and it took a moment to figure out that he was trying to keep from laughing. "Oh, you know how it goes," Rodney said airily. "You never know when a brilliant idea is going to strike." Elizabeth made a noise that sounded like a long-suffering sigh. "I'll expect a full report in the morning." "You got it," Shepard promised. "Shepard out." He turned to Rodney. "Come on, let's check it out." Rodney took a moment to bring the lights up on the corridor so they could see the damage. The force field was gone, and the room was a smoking wreck, but on second look, Shepard had placed the charges carefully, in the pod and under the consoles. "Where was the power source?" Rodney asked, because there was no evidence that anything capable of fueling a force field for 10,000 years had blown. "It might have been interesting to look at." "I took it out before I planted the charges. It's all yours, right out in the hallway. I figured under the circumstances, it was the least I could do." "Oh, wow, thank you." But Rodney didn't go look at it, because his brain was too busy trying to sort out what was going on here. Was that supposed to be some sort of consolation prize? "So I guess this is it, then? You're free of it? All fixed now?" Shepard looked up from where he was examining the twisted, blackened mess that was all that was left of the pod. "Close enough," he said. He had a smoky smear on one cheek which absolutely did not look good on him. "You're off the hook, McKay. You've done your duty. Above and beyond, good going and all of that. Sorry, I don't think I can swing you any kind of civilian medal. Air Force isn't really at the times with this sort of thing." "You think I want a medal? What are you, nuts?" "Rodney," Shepard said with a roll of his eyes. "Oh, right, you were kidding about that part. Funny how it didn't make him feel any better. So, what, this means you don't need to have sex with me again?" Shepard looked away. "Yeah," he said softly, "that's what it means. I think, under the circumstances, it might be a good idea if you and I aren't alone together for a while." Rodney gritted his teeth. This was so wrong. So very wrong. So very different than the Shepard who had kissed him back mere hours ago. "You mind if I ask why? Because honestly, that's going to pretty ridiculous extremes." Shepard turned back to frown at him. "You need me to spell it out? I don't trust myself not to jump you, okay? And that would be a tragedy exactly how? Okay, I get that you don't want any kind of emotional entanglement, but I'm not asking for one here." Shepard opened his mouth to protest, but Rodney cut him off with a quick wave of his hands. "No, wait. Hear me out. We could make this work. We could be having lots of really, really great sex. We could be having sex right now. What the hell is wrong with that?" Shepard ducked his head so that Rodney couldn't read his expression. "Well, for one thing," he said quietly, "you're straight." Rodney snorted. "Based on the evidence of the past few weeks, I'm thinking not so much." Shepard's chin jerked up, and his hands clenched in fists against his sides. "Look, I can't," he said, his eyes wide and a little bit wild. "If I start now, I may never be able to stop." Rodney took a step towards him, then another step, while the whole situation did a flip-flop in his brain and snapped into astonishing clarity. "Wait, is that what this is all about? You think you're more into this than I am? Because, wow, that would really take some doing. I mean, I'm not saying it would be impossible, but statistically speaking, it would be pretty close." "Rodney," Shepard crossed his arms in front of his chest and his face went dark. "I'm not cured, okay? I just transferred the damn addiction." Rodney waved a dismissive hand. "It wasn't like you didn't know that already. Yes, yes, now you're addicted to sex, but I like sex, so really, I'm not seeing the problem here." Shepard grimaced and rolled his eyes. "I'm not addicted to sex, you idiot. I'm addicted to you." "Oh, God. That was seriously not what Rodney was expecting." Rodney gulped. "Really? Wow. That was pretty damn amazing." "Okay, wow, that works." He just never really thought that Shepard could... that Shepard was actually... that this was about him? "That really, really works." Shepard's Adam's apple bobbed as he swallowed. Are you nuts? Rodney, I want to lock us in a room together and not come out for a month, maybe 2 months. Oh, yeah? Okay, that sounded pretty good. Really, he was up for it. Tell you what, I'll lay in a supply of MREs. God, Shepard said, and he sounded so amazingly, delightfully gobsmacked that Rodney just had to kiss him.
You okay? John asked, because he had to know for sure. When he'd promised anything you want, this really wasn't what he'd had in mind. Yes, yes, it's good, it's great, it's... Would you just hurry up already? God, Rodney wanted it. Rodney really wanted it, like it was something sane to want, something normal. John eased a second finger in and bent to take Rodney's cock into his mouth. Wait, wait, Rodney said, and John froze with his lips around Rodney's cockhead. Crap. He was going as slowly as he could with the fingers, and he was pretty sure he'd been careful about the teeth. But Rodney just looked up at him and said, You really are straight. And okay, that was just, wow, they were totally not on the same page here, and maybe that should have been freaky, but it just wasn't. What part gave it away? John asked, lifting his head so that Rodney's cock slipped out with a plop. The cock-sucking or the finger-fucking? Rodney rolled his eyes like he didn't have two fingers up his ass. Okay, we're straight. Whatever. Don't tell me you ever sucked a guy before me, because you were seriously abysmal at it. Way to set the mood here, John said, and twisted his fingers. Rodney gasped, which was, okay, a little reassuring. But he still didn't shut up. Come on, tell me I'm right. I bet you've been with hordes of women and not one single man. You want to list everyone I've ever slept with? Now? Damn it, he was dying here. John bent to lick Rodney's cock and curled his fingers at exactly the same time. A concise, oh God, summary, Jesus, would do. Okay, yeah, you're my first guy, John admitted. He was obviously going to have to say something, or they'd never get on with it here. But it wasn't like I'd never thought about it. I told you, sex was never that big a deal to me. I didn't figure I was missing that much. Rodney looked smug. Wow, were you ever wrong? Under the circumstances, it wasn't like he could exactly deny that. Yes, I was wrong. I was very, very wrong. And now I'm ruined for anyone else but you. Are you satisfied? Rodney propped himself up on his elbows, his face open and eager with something that looked, wow, almost like wonder. Really? Ruined? No, not really, John said, because he hadn't meant it seriously. He couldn't mean it seriously. He'd totally meant it seriously, and the crazy thing was, he was good with that. Well, okay, maybe a little. Jesus, McKay, do I really need to feed your ego here? Rodney smirked at him and fell back down onto his pillow, savoring his victory or surrendering, or maybe, quite possibly, doing both at the same time. I don't care what you do with my ego as long as you fuck me. You are going to fuck me, aren't you? John grinned back and leaned toward him. Damn straight I am. The end.